I always wake up we are supposed to start at 13:30. It is that time. One of the subjects in the new rules says for us to start any meeting of the committee, we have to be a third, which makes us 4 out of the 11. We are that quorum. Of course, adopting a report is something else, which requires a 50+1. We are meeting also guided by your Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which requires us that we come together and receive annual reports from the department and its entities. A process that is still having its own challenges, I must say, precisely because here you are expected whatever recommendations that come by must be recommendations that are factored into a budget, both in terms of your medium-term budget and also the annual budget itself. But as to whether that is indeed happening is something else. The cycle is quite tight, and it requires us to really keep tabs with the processes that are quite tight themselves. Without making much of any commentaries, we did receive apologies from the Deputy Minister, who is ill. The Minister has also tendered an apology that she will request to be released at 15:30. Also, Mr. Mguni, one of our members here, has indicated that he has commitments with his committee that is on arts and culture. That should be it for now insofar as the apologies are concerned. We only have one item on the agenda. That is also having to receive a briefing from the department about its annual report. We have had a full session with the Office of the Auditor General on Tuesday as part of our preparation for this particular session. We hope and trust that that shall have assisted us for this particular session. Minister, without waste of time, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to honourable members and the delegation from the AG's office. Chair, I'm here with the team of the department led by the Acting Director General, Mr. Sifiso Mkhize, who is our permanent, fully appointed Chief Financial Officer. Over the past 2 months, we had the Director General resigning out of her own accord, and we then appointed the CFO. You'll remember last year this time, we had an acting Chief Financial Officer. Today we have a CFO. We have since also advertised the post of a Director General and we hope to fill the post by the end of November. Already shortlisting has been done, an interviewing panel has been put together, constituted by ministers as well as the minister and the deputy minister. We hope that by December 2016 we shall have filled the post of a director general. What we are presenting before you, honorable members, is work also that I need for the record to also acknowledge the leadership of the former director general together with the chief financial officer who had to complete the process upon the resignation of the chief of the director general. And I think what we presenting here today will reflect indeed what you had said, an improvement based on the recommendations that did not only come from the AG, but also that came through the parliamentary processes on the basis of the last financial year. Just to share with you, honorable members, the environment within which this budget we are presenting, this annual report that we are presenting had to actually be executed under. That you will recall that by financial year 2015-2016 we had below normal rainfalls that resulted in the lesser rainfalls that led to socio-economic and agricultural drought that we then had to deal with, which was not necessarily something that was in our annual performance plan. And the water sector across the value chain was affected negatively by a number of situations, and amongst others, seeing districts and local municipalities within the 8 provinces having drought declarations. And that's what had happened in the financial year that we are reviewing. We then in the middle of that financial year had to put together mitigating factors, interventions, and we had to implement numerous measures that to a certain extent affected the achievements of the strategic outcome orientated goals, given the fact that there was never a budget that was put aside for the drought. But what had to be done were the interventions, and as I'm speaking, we all know that we're sitting with almost 8 provinces. In fact, it's almost the entire country now with Gauteng being affected by the drought, and that was never in the annual performance plan and the budget that was approved by Parliament. And within that period of the financial year, we had to then bring in interventions that had to deal with that situation. There was also a process of dealing with regulatory functions that have to be also incorporated into the regulations budget. We had to ring-fence functions of catchment management agencies within the water trading entity responsible for water resource management. Under administration chair, honorable members, the budget had to be reprioritized in the following manner. Again, looking at the issues that had to do with dealing with the challenges of the environment that we found ourselves in, was a total of 20 million that was reprioritized and reallocated to information services to fund the emergency replacement of the local area network equipment in Mpumalanga, in Limpopo, in the Western Cape, as well as in the Pretoria office. We also had to reprioritize 276 million and reallocated that to strengthen our community awareness programs and capacity building in communities, so that then we are able to make interventions that may limit possible waterborne diseases and any other outbreak that might have happened in South Africa. And I think what has been happening is that we need to appreciate that there's been value for money. We've not reached a calamity where we have had people actually being admitted, including livestock being lost to proportions that are beyond our control. And amongst other things that we also had to do was to strengthen our partnership with different sectors of civil society. And on the water infrastructure development, reprioritization also had to be focused on an amount of 30 million that had to be reallocated to Zwaying in the northwest for drought intervention and pollution control. I think colleagues, honorable members, will remember also that that was one of the highly affected areas because of water contamination and the weaknesses in local government that required government to intervene after the provincial government, together with the municipalities there, had actually presented themselves before the national department. And out of our own water infrastructure development budget, we also had to deal with the reallocation of 800 million from the main account and 500 million from the water trading account, and allocate to Giani intervention, which was an emergency. Honorable members will remember when we started, there was a challenge with the Giani water scheme project, and we had to deal with it as an emergency. And out of that, again, given the nature of an emergency, we had to reprioritize and make interventions. Where we are today, we are now dealing with a closeout report. The closeout report that will indicate the work that has been done so far and determine what is remaining out of the scope of work that is outstanding, and that will then follow an open and a public process to deal with the completion of the entire scheme. We then also had to deal with challenges in the Eastern Cape, which amongst others were in the Sundays River, to amongst others deal with the wastewater treatment, and an amount of 400,000 had to be put together for that. We further went on dealing with the challenges of local government, given the drought situation and the inability for them to implement their project, and allocate a total amount of 200 million to accelerate the Umtata KSD Cluster 6 work, the Mogalakwena Namamosa and Kalahari Bulk Infrastructure projects. And we then also looked at the interventions through the Sidibeng Water Board on the district municipality of Ngakamudiri Mulema in the northwest, as well as a drought relief program that had to be reprioritized and make interventions to the tune of 197 million in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And in all that, we had to also put together an amount of 502 towards interventions that deal with the water shortages in 94 municipalities in South Africa. And that as well, we did that having worked together with the interministerial committee that deals with the drought and giving the support to other line departments that look at this. Honorable members and colleagues, I think you'll also remember that in the previous financial year 14-15, National Treasury did not actually approve a rollover and of an amount of 1.6 billion. And out of that, then the department had to absorb the current budget through a reprioritization exercise, absorb the tasks and the responsibilities. And we did indicate in the previous financial year's annual report presentation that what we will do is to go back and reprioritize. We'll not abandon the tasks, but we'll go back and see how best we reprioritize this. What is of importance also is to share with you what I started with, that the DG on the capacity of the department and the issues of leadership that were raised previously. I think we're not in any crisis situation, like I've said. The former DG's term of office was going to end this month in October, and she since then resigned in June 2016, because you'll recall, honorable members, that it was a transfer from a province to national. So it was a continuation of an existing contract. So her term was ordinarily going to come to an end in October 2016. We hope that by the end of November, because our interviews are going to take place in the first week of November. That will be done. As I've said, Mr. Mkhize is our permanent CFO, who is currently acting, and we've got one of our financial managers then acting as a chief financial officer. The other area that may come out around issues of what has come out of the report of the AG on irregular expenditure is the work around Mopani District. It's work that has been done through the Lepelle Northern Water Board, which is our own implementing agency that was issued with a directive in 2014. And therefore, all administrative processes are carried out by the implementing agent, and the Director General is working closely with the acting CE to address the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General in our report in that space. And we have a team that is working together with the Lepelle in attending to these particular issues. On the role of implementing agencies, one of the things that has been raised by the AG, and we also are considering to that, is that, yes, we have implementing agencies that carry out our responsibilities, and they in the main, you have the water boards that do that, and to a certain extent also our local authorities. Yes, to a certain extent, they also do not follow processes as prescribed by National Treasury, and whatever wrongdoing on their side, then it gets declared as irregular expenditure in DWS, in the Water and Sanitation Department's audit. We have since also revised our supply chain management policy to ensure that implementing agencies follow procurement processes when implementing our projects. We have even gone to an extent, Chair, of saying where there are allegations of irregularity, perceptions, perceived effects around issues of corruption and stuff, we will put together, as the PFMA requires, we will put together a team. We have since put together a team that deals with all those allegations, those perceptions, including the issues of consequence management, and we hope that as we have given that team the responsibility, of course supported by the Office of the Auditor General on taking that move, including National Treasury, we hope we'll be able to clean the department, to sort our own issues in terms of value for money, transparency, where there's maladministration, where there's perceived or sexual acts of corruption, as well as where there has not been proper planning with regard to implementation of projects. One of the things that I want to also share with honorable members that has also come out are the issues that are related to some of our mega projects, like the raising of the Glen Williams Dam. What was a challenge was the constraints that were related to the delay of delivery of material, labor, and contractual matters. And those were the things that have also caused the problem. But I must also say that the project initially was supposed to be implemented by what is called the construction unit in the department. And one of the things that, again, in the quest of creating capacity of the state and making sure that there's value for money, we had to remove the construction unit, because in earnest, there's a perceived assumption that capacity rests within that unit, when in fact, in many instances, that unit will also go out and source out the capacity to implement. And in many other instances, it will then play a delaying a role. So you rather than go directly and get a service provider, make them to come in and do the work. Part of what we are dealing with in reorganizing the water sector is to also deal with that kind of an arrangement in the department, because if we have to transform the water sector, we must also change the way that our own internal institutions have been created, because they have not played what was supposed to be the noble idea of building capacity within government. And I think moving forward beyond the report of the presentation of the annual report, we can come in here and come and discuss the issues around transformation of the water sector and institutional arrangements. Because that has been one of the things, and I know that members of the portfolio committee and the issue raised by the AG are critical, including in some of our own mega infrastructure projects. So that is but one. So if we look at some of the projects, you find that upon bringing in professionals, you are able to even find value for money. And in some instances, where you find that the cost becomes lesser. And it is those things that we're beginning to start looking at to reorganize the department. On the governance issues, we are beginning to improve our control environments, and the results are beginning to show. I think from as far back as 2009, it's for the first time that the department once more has an unqualified audit opinion, and that does not mean we have arrived. There are things that we can actually start dealing with, and hence the established, firstly we started dealing with the Public Service Commission to look at the capacity and the competency in the department. Secondly, we are reviewing our supply chain management on how we deal with our implementing agencies, as well as what is being required by law in terms of us transferring money to municipalities, and at the end of the day, when the audit comes, it reflects negatively on the department. So those are some of the things that we are reflecting, and remember the department is also working together with a committee led by the presidency, together with the Minister of Public Enterprises, to review the SOEs and SOCs, and our water boards are also part of that process. So the institutional realignment process will also help us to revisit all those kind of functions. Secondly, to deal with these irregularities. Honorable members will remember that we have a review of the Water Act and the Water Services Act. So that then, once we are done with them by a first term of 2017 calendar year, we can be able to iron out all those issues of what is required by the Water Act against what the Water Services Act dictates. But also, what becomes an important thing, which together with the with National Treasury, we had also started to talk about, then the funding of the entire value chain of the supply of water and sanitation. Because that is where the issues actually start, the roles and responsibilities begin to become a problem. So we're looking at those issues around the alignment of our regulations, looking at our responsibility on our implementing agencies, and then the review of the two pieces of legislation, putting together consequence management on performance or non-performance within the department, independently get information about how the department functions and the issues that have to deal with irregularities, as well as some of the things that have to do with non-compliance. But moving forward, Chair, in the 16-17, one of the things that we will be quite strong on is the transformation of the water sector, on how we not only have to focus, correctly so, on the issue of water running through the tap, but also on ensuring that since water is a cross-cutting issue, is a catalyst towards inclusive growth, how do we play a role through the laying of infrastructure, through the maintenance of infrastructure, in growing the economy, in broadening participation in the procurement of goods and services, in ensuring that we promote innovative solutions that will be cost effective. It is those things that we're now beginning to look at, because until such time we come to that particular level, there may be perceived or there may be assumptions about what the department seeks to do, but we're beginning to respond to the National Development Plan, and we're beginning to respond to the 9-point plan through the work that we are doing. So the irregular expenditure, what has been considered is that yes, work has been done. What has not been an issue was to make sure that it is in line with what is required, and we can be in a position through the acting DG to explain in that regard. The 39% performance against the expenditure of the budget, we can also share with honorable members that what one has presented is a direction that says against the APP, this is what happened. And in the course of that financial year, we had to reprioritize to respond. And as I'm saying, one of the things that we have also been able to do is to increase the access to water in South Africa, is to improve our infrastructure in South Africa. Three, with the drought that has been with us over the last 2 years, everybody, including some international experts, do concede that South Africa has had good interventions that have really made sure that there's little that has to do with loss of life, that has to do with the waterborne diseases. But what we are now doing is to deal with the issues of adaptation. We now have, and amongst other things that show that South Africa has done well in this course, in these 2 years, we have also been put as members of a high-level panel of the United Nations to share with the world on some of the interventions that we have made as a country, and through our president, in the course of this financial year and the drought that has been there over the last 2 to 3 years, we have been put there as one of the, ten member countries, heads of state, who are advising the world on how to deal with the with the drought, with El Nino, and that is based on the solutions and the interventions that South Africa has made. Nobody says we have done well, 100%, but there's an indication that from where we were to where we are, we can actually be able to share with various other countries in that regard. I'm going to invite the SDG to then deal with the analysis of the non-financial performance per program, and from there he may then, with your permission, be able to come in and get some members of his team to make contributions. So.
Sure. No, I'm not sure that how we have structured the engagement. There are two areas that we are going to engage on. Firstly, the input of the minister when we deal with issues of accountability. It's political, and the political head of the department. And therefore, it requires that presentation, in fact, that input, members can critique that input, because she raises fundamental issues that need to be engaged on. So I want your guide in that particular area, Chair, before we allow the general presentation of the annual report, that are we going to engage on such areas? If so, it's going to benefit the committee, in fact, to clarify some of the issues before either we receive the presentation of the report itself, to deal with the politics of that part. You'll know that the committee sees with trying to find itself around this issue of water resource and the ownership of water resource. So I'm saying that it's very important in the annual report that you are able to balance, because even the committee report should reflect on the politics of how we have engaged with the minister at that particular level on her input. So I thought that maybe you should guide us, Chair, to say either we allow the DG to continue but come back, because I'm worried that she's going to leave in the next hour, maybe come back to that presentation of the minister and then deal with the rest. So you can guide us in that area, but I think those issues are very critical issues.
Yeah. let's allow the DG and the CFO, because what I'm fearing is that if we begin to engage with the minister, the details are there with the DG and the CFO. I think let's just allow that process. We are mindful of the time as well.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Minister, Chair, honorable members, as well as colleagues. I'm going to touch on the non-financial performance information as well as the financial performance of the department. In terms of our non-financial information, as you all know that we report based on our robot system, I thought it is important that I will stick to what we put in our APP per program. In the Department of Water and Sanitation, we have five programs. The first one being administration, where we put in our APP 18 indicators. Of that, 11 were achieved, and 3 were partially achieved, and 4 were not achieved. In terms of water planning and information management, which is program 2, we had 12 indicators that were set, 4 were fully achieved, 2 were partially achieved, and 6 were not achieved. Water infrastructure development, which is the third program, with 21 indicators, as per our APP, 4 were achieved, 7 were partially achieved, and 10 were not achieved. In terms of water and sanitation services, we had 5 indicators set, 2 were fully achieved, 1 was partially achieved, and 2 were not achieved. The final one being the water sector regulation, with 10 indicators, 4 were fully achieved, 2 were partially achieved, and 4 were sort of not achieved. I think it was important that moving away from the percentages that we have in the presentation that we submitted, but we also put the numbers behind the presentations. Looking at the water trading entity, 2 indicators were set for financial management. 1 was fully achieved and 1 was partially achieved. Water resource management, 4 were set, none was achieved, and 1 was partially achieved. Looking at our financial information, I will first start with the statement of financial position. I think in the statement of financial performance, I will highlight 3 things that come out of the statement of performance. The first one being the issue of the underspending of the 189 million rand in the 2015-16 financial year. In the previous financial year, we had 2 billion as underspending, and in this financial year, we had 189, of which the 189, the bulk of it is 107 million rand around the compensation of employees' budget due to the moratorium that we put as we're reviewing the structure after having sanitation being incorporated as part of the department. And 55 million rand was for the sanitation. There was also an issue of the 77 million rand that was not approved for infrastructure projects and sanitation services. Part of that, of the statement of performance, there is an issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which increased from 28 million rand in the previous financial year to 87 million rand due to identified possible duplicate payments made through our implementing agents. As we did that exercise of reviewing our commitments and accruals, where we asked for supporting documents for all the documents we received from our implementing agents, we have identified this and we have since launched an investigation in that to identify whether indeed what we think as duplicate payments, indeed it is duplicate payments. And lastly, we had under payment of financial assets, we had an unfortunate situation where of 4.8 million rand includes fraudulent payments, of which 4.5 made was due by department officials. We have since revised the delegations of authority and introduced stringent control over sundry payments to prevent the reoccurrence of fraudulent payments, and disciplinary actions have been taken against those officials, and those disciplinary actions were sort of finalized. Looking at the next statement, which is a statement of financial position, there I want to highlight the issue of the irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure increased from 781 million rand in 2014-15 financial year to 2.4 billion in 2015-16 financial year. Of that, 240 million originated from the department and the 2.2 billion originated from our implementing agents. Of the 240 million from the department, 160 million was due to a contract with Business Connection that was not advertised in the CETA website, but I can confirm that all procurement processes were followed. The only lapse was that it was not advertised in the CETA website. And it is not something that is like now, it was done in the, I think, 2013-14 financial year. Irregular expenditure at implementing agents due to them not following the procurement processes or policies as prescribed by the National Treasury. To cap this from recurring, the Department Supply Chain Management Policy has been revised to include a clause requiring the IAs to use the department's procurement processes. Also, we also have a checklist before we transfer sort of funds to these implementing agents in terms of what they need to comply with before we, so that we can satisfy ourselves that all procurement processes were followed. In the statement of financial position, I can also cite the issue of an unauthorized expenditure that amounts to 3.8 million rand. We are following the processes in line with the PFMA in terms of making sure that our request for the condonation is received a favorable consideration from Parliament. 495,000 was as a result of overspending of a main division within the vote, and 3.3 million was incurred due to expenditure not in accordance with the purpose of the vote. That's a breakdown of the 3.3 million. The issues of commitments and accruals, those are the issues that sort of caused our qualification in the last financial year. Commitments were revised from 35 billion in 2014-15 financial year to 12 billion in the current year. The 2015-16 commitments are 9.4 billion, and all issues that contributed to the qualification in the previous financial year have been addressed. Similarly, with accruals, we picked up a lot of prior errors, same as with commitments, and we agreed with the AG that we need to correct that, and we revised that from 1.3 billion to 1.5 billion. And in the current year under review, 500 million rand worth of accruals was declared in our financials. We had issues of advances and receivables. Advances of 38 million rand was for drought and other interventions. 36 million rand was for one of our water boards, Seriben, and 1.5 million was through Rainwater for the intervention that they do on our behalf. Receivables, 10.1 million include the 6.9 million rand for staff debts and 3 million rand for interdepartmental claims with other departments. Loans of 8.2 million pertains to loans advances to our irrigation boards as well as to our water boards. In the last financial year, we had 1% of our budget not being spent, which is 189 million rand, and this has since been paid or surrendered to the National Treasury. We had a small amount of 6,000 rand that was shown as an overdraft, and this was due to time differences in terms of when the interfaces between the two bank accounts. Payables of 4.5 million pertain to payroll payables, which are salary related. We also had bad debts written off, which increased from 59,000 to 298,000 for staff debts that were deceased and we could not recover the money. I think the details, we have provided the details, Chair, And in terms of the analysis of our report, let's conclude the analysis. Thanks.
Are you done?
I will invite the CFO to add.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister, Acting DG, and Honourable Members. In terms of the audit report, you'll see from 2012-13, we started with a qualification. We're qualified on 8 areas, mainly being the commitments, accruals, irregular expenditure, and also on our assets. You can see the progression all the way from 2012-13 to 2015-16. In 13-14, there were only three findings. In 14-15, we're sitting with only 2 qualifications on commitments and on accruals. And in the 15-16 financial year, we're now unqualified with a couple of findings. But the status has been progressing over the past 4 years. This particular slide is showing the number of the findings from the 12-13 financial year all the way to the 15-16 financial year. You'll see how they've decreased from almost 180 findings in 2012-13 to about 100 in the year 15-16. But I do need to highlight that the blue is signifying the findings that were material. In the year 15-16, we were only sitting with 18 findings that were material on the final management report. And you'll see that was a big improvement from the 13-14 financial year, where we were sitting with 107 findings that were material on the annual financial statement. So it's been a huge improvement from 107 findings to only 18 in the 15-16 financial year. The main highlights that we had is the Department of Water and Sanitation was the improvement of our audit report from qualified to unqualified, and also on the underspending. Our underspending in the year 14-15 was 2 billion, and in the year 15-16 it was only 189 million. Another highlight was on the payment of suppliers within 30 days. We improved from 86 days in the year 14-15 to only 23 days in the 15-16 financial year as per the final AG management letter. For the water trading, I think the acting CFO for the water trading can take over on that one. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Chair. From the water trading point of view, if we look from 2012-2013, there were basically 4 matters that were qualification matters, and then in 2013-14, there was only one matter, which is in relation to revenue from exchange. And then 2014-15, we got an unqualified audit. However, in 2015-16, there were issues when it comes to the existence of assets. And then we have since appealed the qualification due to the fact that if you look at the issues of existence, there were 4. The AG went and did the sample on the canals, which is the part of the class of the assets, and then they find that there are roughly 4 fences that were missing, and then they then extrapolate to the whole population of the canal, which is 7 billion. So that's where the qualification is coming from. But we are saying all the other components they were there. So the issue of extrapolating to the whole population of the canal, it's a challenge. Rather extrapolate on the fences, and the total fences are amounting to 84 million.
Okay, thank you. I forgot to mention that we are all invited to a wedding, apart from mine. November 26. Mrs. Bilankulu on the 17th of November, she's tying the knot. You are all invited.
Yes.
that's taking place in Giyani. Members, that is the report from the department on a whole range of issues being mentioned. Of course, Mr. Chauke was very ready to. My main concern, if as we listen to members still coming through, my main concern, Minister, is that whether or not could it be an issue of capacity that targets having been set, money being spent, but targets not being met. You're talking here of targets in the region of about, you know, 39-40% that were achieved. But the money has been spent almost 99%. We did ask this question through the Office of the Auditor General as to what does that mean? Can it be a matter that is condoned? Yes, you shall be having all the documents, but still, you have an unqualified, we would really wish you to be having continuously that unqualified audit report from your financials. But insofar as achieving, at the end of the day, ours and our interest rests more with us being able to improve the lives of our people for the better. Whether or not the 99% spent shall have gone in that direction, improving that life of that ordinary person for the better. That continues to be my main query from where I'm seated as doing my own oversight as a member of parliament. Any further questions, Mr. Chauke noted, Mr. Basson, Mrs. Baker, Mrs. Kaula, in that order.
No, thank you very much, Chair. You see, after the input made by the Minister, in fact, some of my critical questions were sort of answered. The issue that I want to deal with, Chair, is that with drought, Minister, that we currently find ourselves in, vis-a-vis the allocation of the department, money allocated to the department, and this money had to be diverted to deal with issues of drought. What has been the implication of that? And what is the position of government that here is drought, there is no special budget that is put aside from Treasury to say to the department, you now confronted with the added responsibility to deal with drought, therefore such an amount is now put aside. Or if Minister has ever made an appeal to the department, to government generally, where at that level, to Treasury to request an assistance. This comes to the point that the Chair has just raised with regard to meeting of targets. And maybe can the department clarify this part, that with this diversion, what has been the implication generally with regard to our predetermined objective? And the other part, Chair, that I want to deal with is that the Minister raises a point on the issue of water resource. As you know, Chair, others they call it a resource, others they call it a commodity, because others they make business out of it, a good money. And when you look at the current control of water in the country, almost 67% of water resource goes to irrigation. 23% or 27% goes to the general use. 3% goes to mining. And the rest then follows, 3%, 1% in other areas. Now, in our last engagement, Chair, with the mining sector, it was very clear that Lonmin on its own, with 11 plants in Rustenburg, they use more than 1 million, you call it the metric tons, what do you call that, megaliters. You must know I'm still new in the committee, but I'm grappling. 1 million megaliters per day when the community in Madiving uses less than, is it 200, less than 212. How do we balance that? And I want to hear from you, Minister, moving forward. How are we going to balance this? You talk transformation. The question I'll ask you, Minister, who controls water in South Africa? Who's in charge of water? Commodity resource. Who controls water? Now I'm saying this thing because I've said, Chair, that what the minister has raised is very political. The issue of this construction company in the department, we need to get more clarity, Minister, around that particular area. You'll have to tell us exactly what is this bureaucratic arrangement that you have in your department that duplicates what ordinarily your contractor will be appointed through a process of tendering and all of that and then perform those services. Why do you still keep, again you need to explain, why do you still have that duplicate if you have a duplicate in the last, I think it's many years now that this thing has been existing there. Why do you still keep it there? Because if it does not play any role, in fact, you're creating a red tape on top of a crisis that you are sitting with as a country currently. Now, when I calculate, in fact, Chair, the diversion, all these amounts, I will have missed some, but they give you almost 1.4 billion, 1.5 billion. The money that get diverted to deal with issues of drought and all of that. I'm not sure if that is related to your irregular expenditure. If it is related to the irregular expenditure, how are you going to deal with complying with the PFMA? I don't want to take the rest because my colleagues will still come with the rest. I'll still come back. So for now, these are my first questions, Chair.
Mr. Bosa?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, Minister, you mentioned that in the 2014-15 financial year, 1.6 billion was not rolled over, and you had to work that in into the new financial year. Despite the shortfall in a written question that you have answered, you still had 1.187 million not spent in this financial year, but which is alarming, Minister, and you need to explain to us why did the department then agree with National Treasury to give back or to cut your budget with 827 million rand for the financial year? Because that has a huge impact. Then I would like just to add on, it's already been mentioned, is that I don't understand, and your department needs to explain that despite the fact that you had 827 million, it was reduced, your budget, you would have been again this year with an unspent budget of 1 billion rand if you did not reduce your budget. Secondly, is your programs, it's 37.8% of your programs that you achieved, but 98.8% of the money spent. Now, either you didn't do your budget correct, or you overspend on the programs you've completed. Because if the money that was allocated was linked to the 66 projects or 100% of your projects, and you spend 98.8% of your budget on only 37.8% of your programs, there's something wrong, and that needs to be explained. Thank you, Chair.
Same questions raised earlier. Mrs. Baker.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few things. I just have to say that I do not agree with the Minister when we to say that we have handled the drought effectively. I don't think we should just measure the handling of the drought versus lack of loss of life, of human life. I think if we had one life lost, it would have been too many. And to add on to what Mr. Chawuki is saying, the amount that we spent is a bit concerning. I think the management of the drought has been haphazard as an interdepartmental crisis. Initially, we denied that it was a crisis, and then we started calling it a crisis. But I think now we are heading to a disaster. And I would like to ask the Minister, when are we going to declare this drought a national disaster so that we can have the funding that is needed, we can have the action, combined action. It's too haphazard. We've got departments of agriculture dealing with it, we've got Department of Water dealing, we've got Health dealing with it, and no, I don't think we're speaking to each other. We're not sure who's doing what and how much is being spent. I think if we add up the amount that's spent across the departments, it's a phenomenal amount. Let's declare this drought a national disaster. Let's allow government, Treasury, to do what it can do to assist the department. And if you consider that, as Minister has just indicated, we're now affected in 9 provinces, I think that is a disaster, Minister. Let's declare the disaster. Let's call it what it is. And I'm concerned here with the lack of monitoring overall over the department. If I look at issues that were raised now in the presentation, we're talking about an unacceptably high irregular expenditure due to supply chain management issues. We're talking about fraud in the department. Where were the red flags raised? What processes should have been followed to alert the department that there's this fraud taking place? Why is it only coming out at the end? Lack of monitoring there as well. We're talking about issues like Swartruggens Dam that we visited last month, or early in the month, over oversight. That dam has been empty for months. We have monitoring systems in place over our dams. That's there. That data is available on a daily basis, not even a weekly, daily basis. When we see a dam is empty, what action should be taken? We had an instance when we were there over oversight at Swartruggens. Nobody knew who should be doing what. Fingers were being pointed in every direction. Who do we hold accountable? The water board, the loans that was referred to, by the department to the water boards. Now, just exactly how much do the municipalities still owe the water boards? Because if there's a cash constraint problem, cash flow problem with the water boards, and we know municipalities are not paying the water boards, what are we doing to improve that cash flow situation? And what is the figure at the moment? Can the department tell us how much is outstanding at this stage to the water boards from the municipalities? I'll leave it for now. Thanks.
Mom called.
Ngibonga sihlalo. NgesiZulu kuthiwa insumansumana, angazi ngamanye amalanga kuthiwani. Sihlalo la, ngivumele ngilibeke kucace ukuthi ngempela kukhombisa ukuthi kule mnyango kule mnyango wabawater asinaye umuntu ogadile ukusebenziswa kwezimali. Njengoba kuze kutholakala khona iy'mali ey'buyela emuva, nalezi mali futhi okutholakala ukuthi zithathiwe, lokhu kuthiwa yi-fraud. Ngikushiso ukuthi, umbuzo wami ubuyela lana minister, kodwa vaya kuwena sihlalo wami lapho omuhle. No, ngithi kungani imali buyele emuva? While abantu bakithi phansi beneyinkinga ezingaka zamanzi kuze kube khona, ngikhuluma ngalango 1 ngalo 189 million. Kube kunabantu okutholakala ukuthi amanzi abanawo nhlobo. Kwezinye indawo kuqhawuke ompompi, akuthiwa imali azikho. Bese ngiphinda futhi ngiya la okuvela khona lo 28 million. Waphinda futhi lo 28 million wenyuka wayoba u 87 million. Page 16 ku bullet 2. Umbuzo wami lana minister, ngempela ngempela le mali lengaka efike yasebenza especially yangabonakala ukuthi isebenza kuphi, ngokwami kuthiwa fanele ukuthi ibibhubhudlwa. Uthini la uminister? Imuphi into ongasitshela yona thina ukuthi izathu kube yilesi? Bese ngizwa la futhi ku lana kulo 4.5 million la okukhulunywa khona nge-fraud. Lana-ke isicelo sami nje ukuthi ngabe bakhona yini abantu ababoshiwe? Mabe boshiwe baqhubeka bayasebenza? Ngabe nizokwenzakanzwa kanjani thina lana sibabone nithi nane case number bavulelwe? Ngoba laphayana besiku-oversight minister, kuhlungu ngathi kakhulu nisibuye siye kuma-oversight la ufanele sibone khona seneliseke ukuthi no imali ziyile la emphakathini, kodwa nakhu la isebenze khona kwashoda la, sibuye sihlale phansi sibheke ukuthi yini ezokwenziwa ukuze abantu bayathola. Lapho emadibeni njengobesho uza kwethu lana Mrs. Becker ukuthi kunendawo la saya khona, masifika khona sathola ukuthi amanzi awekho, akwenziwe lutho, kwanele kwadlula ukhetho ababekade bethenjiswe ngayo ukuthi khona into ezokwenzeka, kwangenzeka lutho. Ngangokuthi sathola lapho kutatazeka kuze kwathintakala umhlonitsho lapho umathe ababefakaza ngayo bethu uyalazi udaba, kwatholakala ukuthi kudlaliwa thina ngathi. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi kuthiwani uma ngabe kugangwa kangaka ngezimali. Okunye kunomlungu lapho wase-blist webhusha. Lo mlungu ngendlela esathola ukuthi uxhaphaza ngayo amanzi aze aphinde athathe igazi ley'nkomo ney'khumba ahambise kuyongena emfuleni noma wayesenzilini, asibe sibone ukuthi nakhu la kungena khona igazi. Umbuzo wami-ke ngalo mlungu sabe senza futhi olunye uphenyo sesingaphakathi, sathola amathanki ama-litre 2 amakhulu anamanzi aqoqile for ukuthi uma ibuzwa ngayo lithi igama wenzela ukuthi uma ngabe kunesomiso yena enzenjani aqhubeke and akwazi ibhizinisi lakhe lingami. Ngifuna ukwazi lo mlungu unayo i-license noma futhi uyawakhokhela yini amanzi? Yilokho ebengizofuna ukukubuza, ngoba inhloso yethu minister, eliye into esishaya kakhulu ukongakubheka minister ukuthi la muntu ababizwa ngama-MEC abaphethe umasipala nabo banomthelela wongafuni ukusebenzisana nomasipala. Into esiyibuke silapha yana e-Northwest lilodwa ikhansela engangathi uma ngathi ngikhuluma ngalo ngilibone ukuthi amise imeya engayibona ukuthi imisele the rest bonke laphayana ngishama prima khona ayikhombisa ungahloniphi iportfolio committee yezinye zezinto bezofuna ukuzibone okugcina ke ufakazi kuneyinkinga eziningi engazi reporter la engakazi zenzeke futhi engingazi ukuthi zokwenzeka makubusa yiphi inkosi. Ngiyabonga. Okunye ngisazobuya naku round 2. Bengizocela ngeminister sangathi lo mhlangano wazube u 6. Ngiyabonga.
Briefly, what the honourable member said, she expressed that she believes that or doesn't seem like oversight is being done by this department on the money that is spent, because the money seems to be spent willy-nilly. And then the question that she had was, why is money being sent back when there are people on the ground who are suffering? She then referred to the 189M, which was returned. She questioned why is this money being returned, because taps are broken, there's no water, and when people complain or ask why there's no water, they are told that there's no budget. She then referred to the 28 million and the rise from 28 to 87, the money which was unaccounted for. She wanted to know what's the minister's opinion or regarding this issue. She then also touched upon the 4.5 million which was used fraudulently. She wanted to know if those officials who were involved in this fraud, have they been arrested? Are they still employed? Are cases being opened? Is the case numbers regarding this issue? She then touched upon the oversight visit which was done by this committee to Madibeng. She spoke about the fact that in Madibeng there is no water. And when she spoke to the people on the ground, they said that promises were made before elections. And then after the elections, nothing happened. She also touched upon an official known as Mr. Mate, whom she was told that is aware of the issues happening there at Northwest. She also then spoke about another area which was visited by the committee, which is Brits in the Northwest. She spoke about a white owner, a white gentleman who owns a butchery, and how he wastes water, and how he pumps water and animal hide into the water system. She then asked what is going to be done about that. She then also expressed the fact that when the committee entered his premises, they saw two large water storage tankers. When they inquired what those water storage tankers were for, they were told that it was for drought relief or to ensure that his business doesn't stop when there's drought. She wants to know if, does he pay for this water? Does he have a water license? What's the story around that? She then also spoke about MECs who seem like they don't want to work with municipalities. What is the minister's opinion regarding that? Because this disturbs service delivery. She then expressed a dismay about the Northwest visit, about the fact that out of all the mayors that were there, only one mayor seems to respect the portfolio committee. Other mayors don't seem to have any regard or any respect for the portfolio committee. She wanted to know what is the minister's opinion regarding that. She then, last but not least, she then also spoke about many, many issues that she has brought forward, but none of those issues have been met or none of those issues have been entertained. And then she said that she wishes that the minister could be here until 6 o'clock because there are many other issues that she wish she could have time to express. Thank you.
Mrs. Bilangulu, Mr. Makonda, you covered for now. Mr. Makonda.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the presentation by the department. I thought, Chair, it was going to take long, but indeed it was a high-level presentation. If you compare it with the meeting that we have with the AG, I mean, we took the whole day with the AG, but indeed this was a high-level presentation. Chair, if you recall, our meeting with the AG, the AG had a finding on us as a portfolio committee. And when you look at the AG's presentation on page 24, there are certain recommendations which the AG said we must do as a portfolio committee. One, the AG said that as a portfolio committee we are lacking in terms of our oversight over the department in relation to leadership issues. And we are happy that the minister has given a time frame in terms of appointing the DG. I think it also is the burden on us as the portfolio committee with regard to that. The other issue, Chair, relates to the irregular expenditure. And I think this happened in Lepelle Northern Water. But the finding goes back to the department because that was a departmental money. I want to understand, Chair, because there are a number of projects of the department that are being implemented by water boards or implementing agents. There is Lepelle, there is Dibane, there is Mahalis. I just want to understand, Chair, as to one, how much was spent through the implementing agents, the water boards, on your emergency interventions. And the issue of the 1.3 billion regular expenditure, what steps are you going to take as a department in ensuring that that does not reoccur? The other issue, Chair, it talks to the number of irregular expenditure. I think they are about 50, if I recall well. What steps, again, on those ones that the department is going to take to ensure that they do not recur again? But also, Chair, we want to be briefed of these projects that are being implemented, the progress thereof, whether are they alleviating the challenges that were intended for. Yeah, for now, Chair, and then I can come back later.
Okay, let me also briefly take through to some specific issues related to the presentation by the department minister. I take a keen interest on year 2012, 2013, 2014, specifically in an area of immovable tangible capital assets. My understanding of capital as immovable talks to a building, as it were. And 2012, 2013 talks about lack of supporting documents. Same as 2013, 2014, I'm quite aware that you were not there by that time. Overstatement and lack of supportive documents and lack of systems to record additions. My take is that an immovable building or capital asset talks to a structure. What could have been the issues? Because going forward, 2014, 2015, 2016, I would imagine you shall have taken an interest on that finding. And what could be the details that relate to this? And how has it been resolved going forward? The second issue for me is related to a point raised earlier by Mr. Makondo about the irregular expenditure, especially insofar as your implementing agents are concerned. Simple question. When will this come to a stop? The irregular expenditure in your implementing agent. When will it come to a stop? Mr. Makondo raises it differently. What measures are you going to put in place to make sure that this comes to a stop? It's increasing. For a later time, which we must still be able to schedule, are your irrigation boards. Mentioning is made in passing. I think we need to come back on those irrigation boards and get a feel and sense of, you know, what is going on there. A lot of money is being dispersed in that direction. As I said, it is work for the other day. For us to schedule or reschedule. Thanks, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. I'm going to invite not only the acting DG to respond. I'm going to invite Ms. Zandile Mathe to comment. I'm also going to invite the DDG who's supposed to be overseeing the water boards. He's the last to arrive. We apologize that we started before he comes. And then I'm going to and then the acting DG, and he will then identify those that that may also make meaningful contributions. I think Deborah can also comment on projects and the planning cycle and what has happened in terms of planning against the cost of projects, including the interventions that we are putting in place to make sure that there's value for money, as well as timers planning ahead of the implementation period of our project, if she's ready. Chair, let me indicate one of the things that was raised on the reasons for having not met the targets. As I have earlier said, the annual performance plan had particular targets, and linked to that, there were projects that continue to be multi-year projects, and those projects continued to be implemented. Secondly, there were projects that were new and were ready for implementation. Thirdly, there were projects that could actually be implemented with immediate effect, but with some of the pressures that came in the financial year, we had to then reprioritize within the same program. And I think that is what we need to explain. Within the same program where money has been allocated, and I'm sure Zandile can elaborate on infrastructure, where money has been allocated for infrastructure for particular activities, but it ended up actually dealing with infrastructure in a particular kind of intervention. And hence, when you look at it, it has not been categorized as wasteful expenditure, but it has been irregular because of the need at that time and the intervention that was required at that particular time. Because remember, there is what is called irregular expenditure, there's that fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and these are totally different. What is on the record is that things have been done, but they were not in line with what was adopted in the annual performance plan. Has that been something that made an impact in the lives of ordinary South Africans
I would say definitely yes. The impact that that diversion has done was to mitigate against the realities of drought. And I think part of what one would talk about is what Mr. Honorable Makondo had spoken about on the observations by the AG, because there are other things that one would also want to recommend, so that together we are able to deal with some of the challenges that the department continues to deal with. What has been the position of government raised by Honorable Chauke? I think we all know, and I think Parliament may also be at liberty to review, where there is an emergency and where there is disaster, funding does not come immediately upon proclamation. Even when you proclaim, you will have to reprioritize and make sure, therefore, that you get compensated thereafter. And that has been how the disaster management arrangements in the country have been. So it is those things that I think legislators, policymakers have to actually look at. What happened in the course of this financial year and the reality of drought? We got 290 for desalination, ne? 290, and then we only got 50 million for drought relief. And I think, as I'm responding to Honorable Member Chauke, part of what Honorable Baker and Makondo have raised, we wouldn't have then said we only have 50 million, we will continue as business as usual. And this becomes the constraint, because with that 50 million, you are then expected to go and find money within your budget. And that is exactly then what has happened in response to what Honorable Member Chauke had raised, including what has been raised about the funding and so forth. And I think it is upon us, parliamentarians, legislators, to then look at how these kind of situations work. I know that there are other disaster relief measures that, until now, with my previous life, we still are awaiting national government to compensate. And it's that we definitely have to deal with. And hence I'm saying I'm going to also make some recommendations, and hopefully also the AG's team will be listening to that. Balancing allocation of water and who controls water. In terms of the South African constitution, the Minister of Water and Sanitation is the custodian of water in South Africa. However, what has been a challenge in the country is that the allocation of water in terms of water allocation through issuing of licenses, water use rights, and so forth, government on its own, through legislation, had given an impression that once people have been given the right to use water, they become the custodians of water. And hence the review of the Water Act and the Water Services Act, because that radical transformation that must happen in the water sector is that of reclaiming and bringing to the center the authority and the ownership of water, and the allocation of water use rights must be understood not to be a God-given right or a lifelong kind of permission to deal with these issues. Who controls water? We have our water agencies and the water entity that deals with regulation and allocations. And in many instances, they also have to, actually that's their responsibility, they also have to clean the water and charge in terms of the tariffs, so that then we're able to recover our revenue, which again, Chair, through you, what Honorable Baker has also raised. Our main client becomes your municipalities. And in the main, that's where you find that our institutions that have to deal with management of water allocation, supply, do not actually get their revenue back. And yet there's been a high level of investment, and part of the water allocated gets lost in the system, like the 7 billion worth of water losses that cannot be traced, as well as other things around the non-payment of services and stuff. And I think it is those things that we can also start looking at. I think both Honorable Baker and Honorable Member Makondo raised the issues about what is owed to water boards. I'm sure the CFO can give us the total amount. In fact, we have now made a submission to Cabinet. A memo is before Cabinet to say we need to make sure that our municipalities do pay the water boards, because it takes money to clean the water, to supply the water, and therefore municipalities themselves, just as they have actually been made to pay for electricity, to pay Eskom, they must also pay our water boards. Worse now, with the challenges of insufficient water, including the water losses that they are faced with. Why do we still have the construction unit? We've got a process independent that is looking at the reorganization of the department, and part of what it will be doing is to then look at what is key for a South African water sector. And in line with the National Development Plan, our key responsibilities is on the regulatory environment, it is on the issues of policy, it is on financial management, and the issues of a water and sanitation infrastructure agency. So it is those four that we are moving towards, and hence also the restructuring of our water boards. Because remember, finally, the intention in terms of forward planning in South Africa is to have a South African water board, and that would be able to provide capacity and support. What we are looking at is having a phased-in approach. It started before our term of office. It's going on. The next leg now is to have wall-to-wall water boards, and even being able to have some of the water boards overlapping to other provinces. So the issue of the construction unit, it's part of what we are actually looking at in the department in a much more progressive way, but also in a manner that will make sure that as we deal with these issues, we'll also be able to make sure that we build the capacity of the state to deliver, and we reposition the department. Part of what you have raised, Chair, on immovable assets have to do again with why we have to transform that, why we have to attend to the construction unit. Part of what was the historical problem was your yellow fleet that the construction unit had bought, material and all those things, but that could not actually be supported by any documentation. And we then had to go out and trace these equipments and stuff that had to do with the infrastructure that belongs to government. And maybe in the next opportunity, we'll be able to then come and deal with these issues when we deal with issues of policy and so on and so forth. How are we going to deal? It's the same question, Chair, that you have raised, and Honorable Member Makondo and Honorable Chauke. How are we going to comply and do away with the issues of irregular expenditure? I think the AG's office will have to help us, because it's in the nature of business that, and in the PFMA, where there's an indication that says this will be categorized as irregular. But what we must strive towards is to not justify, or not even just, not create irregularity. And hence, in the presentation I made, I've forgotten which slide it is, where I said we are reviewing our supply chain management policy so that then we subject our water boards, our implementing agents, to our own supply chain management policy. And in the interim, what we are doing, officials from the department now, with what came out of the work that we have observed and our own oversight, are now also sitting in those procurement structures of the implementing agencies, so that then there is compliance. And hence, Honorable Member Makondo, you do not have this irregularity across. We know where it is. We are dealing with it, because in other areas it has actually been arrested. I don't want to say it has been captured, but we have arrested it. We're dealing with it in a manner that is helping us
to understand how then in other areas it has to be sorted out. We do hope that with what you have done and the reports that even Honorable Member Kaula has spoken about irregularity, including the narrative on page 16, we can be in a position to explain and account. Honorable Member Basson, why did you agree with National Treasury? I think we agree on the issues of the rollover. I think we agreed precisely because we understood the reason behind the National Treasury's view. And once we are out of this unforeseen and poor management of the relations between implementing agents and the emergencies that we have to deal with, surely even the AG's office can come back to you and say there has been an improvement. Because what we were quite reluctant to do was to demand when we know that it was a justifiable decision to do what National Treasury has done. Honorable Member Baker, when will government declare the drought? I have no authority of declaring a disaster. Once the relevant authorities and once collectively, including various other role players other than water and sanitation, agree, then we can declare a disaster in the country. But for now, we are all putting up measures like we have done now in Gauteng, where we are putting stringent measures with effect from this month of October, where we're giving Gauteng less 15% of their allocation, because all municipalities have not been able to demonstrate any water saving, and this is but what in Gauteng we believe we can be able to arrest the situation. In other provinces, we're refurbishing boreholes. That's what we did with the, and I think Zandile will elaborate, refurbished boreholes, put new containers that have water and all those kind of things. The lack of monitoring over the department on irregularities and so on, I think what we can safely say is that even with the main contributor, which was your dependent, the reason why now we are waiting a closeout report and there's been an independent assessment of those projects is that we want to close out the emergency component. But fact of the matter, and I hope where Member Bilankulu stays is part of the areas that have been attended to, so that when we go to the wedding, we are fine. That we have accepted that there's still more to be done in Giyani. But, Chair, with that irregular expenditure in Giyani, the social impact on the quality of life of our people there cannot be contested. There are services, some for the first time, to communities that have not been served. Two, there has been a creation of work opportunities in those areas where people have not been employed. So this is but one of the things that, again, we need to explain irregular expenditure against that. Work, services, infrastructure is there. What has not been done was compliance, and hence now we're dealing with Lepelle in that regard. I've said the issue around the water boards and the debt, and I think the acting DG can speak on it, but yes. In fact, even where Randwater is now in Mpumalanga, we are dealing with a challenge of a bushback ridge that can't actually continue to honor its commitment. But remember again, there's been a proclamation to have Randwater dealing with all the other stressed municipalities in Mpumalanga. And imagine if Randwater can pull out because of the non-payment by municipalities. And I'll come back again on the recommendation, because I think this portfolio committee, honorable members, together with COCTA and possibly with finance, have to come together at some point and deal with these issues in a coordinated manner, so that then you as a portfolio committee that's exercising oversight can also inform the portfolio committee that exercises oversight on municipalities, as well as the one that deals with finances, can have a view on how we deal with these issues. The Free State, we've got a number of municipalities also that are in a similar situation, and I think what Honourable Baker and Honourable Chauke had raised on the, not the chair, on the board, I would propose that whilst the acting DG will give us a report, we should also come back and give you what we are taking to cabinet, because our intention was to then have a cabinet approval so that we bring it to parliament to say this is what, how we want to deal with the issues of monies owed by municipalities to the water boards. Mamukaula, and ogunye okukhulumayo la akukho nje emandleni womnyango wezamanzi. Kunabo masipala ibona okufuze bafaka amanzi ehodini estrateni emzini womuntu. Thina sakhidamu sifake imibhobho emikhulu siqinisekise ukuthi la manzi agcina ekuphi, emthonjeni omkhulu wakamasipala, lapho umasipala ezokwazi ukuthi afake amapipe. Okusemqoka yiloko engikushoyo manje about indaba zama-water boards, ukuthi even nala kulezi ezinye izinto okudala uziletha, esiye sikusho ukuthi okunye kwaloko kusemandleni we-COCTA, ikomiti elibhekene nabomasipala, ukuthi likwazi ukuthi lobheke ukuthi omasipala benzani, ngoba i-department le ayifikeleli lapho. Singena uma kunesivumelwano nabomasipala ukuthi asifake isandla lapho sikwazi ukuthi sisizane. Umthetho lo mina abantu basePhalamende thina esiwukhandile uthi abomasipala yibona abathatha amanzi from i-reservoir bawafake kumphakathi. Umthetho uthi abomasipala yibona abanelungelo lokuthi bangasiza ekuthuthweni kwendle nokuqoqwa kwayo ukuze abantu bathole usizo olukahle. So okuningi okushoyo ngiye ngisho ngithi cha, sikuzwile mamkhawula, but kuningi okhuluma ngako okubhekene nomnyango wabomasipala, hayi nomnyango wezamanzi noma kungamanzi. Yimithetho ekhandwe yithina abantu abakhanda umthetho la ePhalamende. Esikwenzayo manje siyibhekile le mithetho yomibili lapho sibheke ibizwa i-Water Act kanye ne-Water Services Act, ngoba abomasipala yibona ama-Water Services Act abanalelo lungelo lazo zonke lezi zinto ohlala uzikhuluma zokuthi abantu namanzi abakakabi namanzi. Amadamu siyawakha, usizo siyalifaka kuma-water treatment plants, siwakhe nalo ma-water waste treatment plants, kepha ekugcineni kubhekene nomasipala ukuthi amanzi awangene emzini wakwaMkhize. Loko kukhulumayo ku-page 16, ngicela nje ukuthi abazokuchazela mamkhawula bakuchazele futhi ukuthi kuloku okhuluma ngako kwaka payment for financial assets and nokuthi kwenzakaleni okubhaliwe la ukuthi le fraud le ye 4.8 million yimali ebhekene futhi nokwenziwa kwabasebenzi bomnyango, kepha okusekwenzilwe ukuthi zikhona izinyathelo esezithathiwe ezibhekene nokuziphatha kwalabo basebenzi labo. Uma umama uKhawule efuna ukwazi ukuthi yabobani, ngiyathemba umnyango isikhathi masivuma uzoza uzonitshela, ngoba lento ibizwa i-sundry payments. Kunento kwi-budget okuthiwa i-sundry, ukuthi umuntu uzoloku ethi nje siyakhokha i-sundry, izinto nje ezincanyane ezincanyane ezincanyane, kanti uma uzihlanganisa zigcina zenza imali ephezulu. Nalaphana ku-fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I think colleagues will also understand we are also dealing with these issues, and hence also the decision to deal with all investigations and issues that have to do with our financial management and controls, including the issues of systems and stuff. Ngizocela mama ukuthi ningiphe nesikhathi
Nyenkinga, if we could check through you, get an oversight report to the Northwest. If we get that oversight report, so that then we can raise with our colleagues, the Premier, in terms of these issues, including the MECs. And if there are those observations, let's get first a report so that we know what exactly has been the experience of the portfolio committee. Very little, Honorable Makondo, has been spent by water boards on emergency other than on the drought relief. And hence, at some point, chair through you maybe, is for us to come again, Siso, and or even supply you with a full detailed program of the interventions, all of them, around the drought and who was assigned to do what and who was assigned to do what when, so that then we are dealing with these issues, including the issues around whether the emergency projects do alleviate the plight of our people. I think I've cited that yes, it does alleviate the plight of our people. Colleagues, if we all remember that we had to divert water from Lesotho to Aliwal North in December, when it was not planned for that to happen, when normally it is not the case. But when Aliwal North in the Eastern Cape was hard hit, we had to stop our vacation and come back and deal with an intervention and divert the water that was supposed to go to Gauteng and provide to the communities of Aliwal North, which was also in a very critical period because everybody was home. And I know that some of those areas could not actually have families enjoying their festive seasons and stuff. So it's those kind of, I'm just citing the story of Aliwal North, which ordinarily they are not beneficiaries of the Lesotho Highlands. But what do? You then have to make an intervention. Similar to the Free State, it was Free State. I've forgotten the areas that we had to also deal with on the Lesotho Highlands. Caledon, which had actually run dry, and it was going to cause more harm in the Mangaung region. We had to step in and deal with that kind of an intervention. So I think the important thing that Honorable Makondo is raising is that are these interventions meant for alleviating the plight of our people? And I'm saying yes. This is exactly what has happened. We went to one municipality in the Eastern Cape where they used to have something that when it rains, water will just park there. Around it, which I've forgotten the town. And because of the drought, they all realized that all along they thought they have a dam. It's not a dam. It's an entrapment of water from the rain. And all along, because of the good rains, and people were able to have water. Now that this has happened, they realize that there was no, it didn't even have a source except rain. We had to step in because if we had not dealt with that Itujwa and surroundings, I've forgotten the name of the municipality, we would have been in serious trouble. That's highlighting these kind of things. Mbashe, yes. There are many that we can bring where if we had stuck to the APP chair, we wouldn't have done anything for them. And we would have said it is the responsibility of the municipality, or we could have said we do not have money for that. So I would really want us to come in and deal with those kind of things and come and explain them. As I've said, my last comment, Chair, I've spoken a bit on the immovable assets and what we are dealing with. I've also tried to explain the issue of when will irregular expenditure come to a stop. It will come to a stop once everything is documented and only if there can be something called the end of unforeseen circumstances. I will just again remind colleagues, when I came in, I was 8 days in office and there was something in Bloemhof. Kids died.
and we had to do an irregular because the municipality didn't have capacity, didn't have money. We had to go in because there was going to be a high level of loss of life. So I think it's those things that we definitely have to look at and see how best we can deal with them. Ideally, it should not be. But I think in the water sector and in an area where you have all these real challenges, it will be a bit too much for me to say it shall never happen. But I think what we must do is to continuously come to the portfolio committee, say on a quarterly basis or twice in a financial year, to come and explain those issues. Iso and Zandile.
Let's do it this way. For the next 15 minutes before you leave, Minister, if other members still have any follow-up for the Minister, and then we can conclude in your absence with the rest of the team. Okay, Mam Kaula, Mrs. Baker, if we can also assist each other as well by being, without any background, without any preambles, boom, the question. Notice.
Ngiyabonga sihlalo ngiyabuzwa minister ngendlela ochaza ngayo especially njengoba uchaza nangomasipala kodwa minister engibe ngizocela mina kwena ngoba abantu bona bayazi yonke le ndaba ukuthi omasipala mina bengacela ukuthi
ngizocela just okuncane yes two.
Okay.
Singakhange sibe senze i-background, otherwise isikhathi.
Bengicela mina minister ukuthi wenze sure ukuthi ulekelele ngoba uyabona ukuthi umkhumbi uyacila lapha phansi. And siyajabula minister ukubona leli committee ngoba ukufeyila kwale minyango khona la noma le engaphansi kwakho. Kukhombisa nathi uqobo ukuthi samafeyila. Yeah, akukho la sizojabula khona sithi hayi laba bayizihluleki. Khombisa ithima qobo as a portfolio committee sizihluleki. Ngiyabonga.
Honorable Minister, please ensure that you step in because the ship is sinking and we support you because your failure is our failure and should you not perform, we all gonna have failed. Thank you.
Speaker.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'd just like to request the Minister then, in this, if you can say, give us a report on the drought relief programs to include the effectiveness of the restrictions, the water restrictions, if you could include that, how effective have the water restrictions been in the various provinces. Sorry, and then the last thing, the effectiveness of the water restrictions. A concern around water restrictions as well, Chair. When we went to London, they actually told us that Vaal had not implemented any water restrictions against them. Rainwater, and yeah, please could we check that as well. And then all international reports are indicating that 2016-17 summer is going to be hotter than 2015-16. How prepared are we to deal with the forthcoming hot and dry weather as our dam levels are already at this point lower than what they were at the stage last year?
Mr. Basson?
Minister, with the Vaal dam at the moment at 27.8%, is there any indication whether your department is going to release water from Sterkfontein Dam? The Vaal dam, with the Sterkfontein dam in the region of 94% at the moment, and the capacity of the Sterkfontein dam is at this stage it's higher than the Vaal dam, 6,200 million cubic meters.
Mr. Chauva.
Thank you very much, Chair. The issue of the legislation, Minister, becomes very critical now. I'm not sure when are we expecting to have the bill. I know currently you are in the draft form. At what point are we going to expect the bill coming to the committee? But again, the issue of relationship between COPTA and this department,
on the constitutional mandate of COPTA on the issues of water. Maybe if you can clarify that part, what is happening. The issue of APP, APP is a contract between you and Parliament, Minister. And therefore, if there's going to be any diversion from the APP, it means that we must develop a mechanism between the committee, because you operate between Parliament, is the committee of Parliament. There must be a mechanism in place that inform the portfolio committee that we are now not going to meet a part. Hence, we have this quarterly arrangement in place. Within a particular quarter, we must be able to be briefed around the issues of APP. Now, the last one, obvious, it will be the issue of which you raised earlier, that we are in the process of resolving the issue of the contract, this contract company, building company, in whatever you call it. There's a need, in fact, Minister, that you come back and brief us. We have to have that brief, which will help us, in fact, to understand on the question of, that brief goes hand in hand, Minister, with a rearrangement of boards. That rearrangement of boards and the contract will help us a lot.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions? Done. Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Ngiyavuma mamkhawula and no wami umbono nami ukuthi kumele ukuthi sizame ukuthi siqinise abomasipala and lokho okukhulumayo kuhambiselana naloko okukhulunywa u-honorable member umhlonishwa uChauke ukusebenzisana kwalomnyango kanye nomnyango we-COPTA sinohlelo olubizwa i-back to basics that seeks to force all of us within government across the three spheres to work in a coordinated manner. Same also with the implementation of the Intergovernmental Relations Act, which rests with the Department of COPTA. And hence, therefore, my proposal, which I had not raised, Chair, was possibly at some point we may have to have joint sittings of COPTA and ourselves, and to a certain extent even human settlement and finance, so that then we then say, at the end of the day, we may be building dams, you may be exercising oversight, you may be accrediting houses, but finally everything happens in a locality, in a ward, in a community. Are we talking to one another? And who are our implementing agents? Is there connectivity within the entire value chain, just to deal with the issues of Mamukaula and also what has been raised about the linkage and the relationships with the department. The COPTA department are also conveners of the Interministerial Committee on Service Delivery. And then the report goes to COPTA. It doesn't come to this portfolio committee. So I think that's why I want to put a concrete proposal to say, let's in our plans also attempt to bring these two and possibly even with Treasury and everybody, because remember, the bigger amounts move from National Treasury directly to municipalities in terms of the grants that go for infrastructure development. And that will help the concerns raised and all other concerns that have come through. How effective are the water restrictions? They've not been effective that much in Gauteng, and hence now the decision to say we'll give you less. Unlike when we have said save 15%. We've now taken a stance that says we'll give you 15%, make do with 15% less. Make do with that 15% less. Secondly, enforce your bylaws. Because it is also an indictment where you find bigger and highly urbanized municipalities not being able to enforce bylaws and even partnering with communities. So the reason why we have gone this way has been precisely because of the inability of our municipalities across Gauteng to deal with just saving a minimum of 15%. But for the record, Chair, it's only the municipality where I live in that has been able for the past 3 months to save 15% Mogale City against the big guys that are actually wasting water. And, yeah. So the... He's silly. He says we don't watch it, Mogale. We watch. The drought report, we will bring the drought report, and I agree also what has, the reason why we have become so hard on Gauteng, which comes to the response to Honorable Member Person, is that a lot of water in the Vaal dam gets wasted through evaporation because of the design of the Vaal dam, which I'm told by scientists, it is so wide such that when you fill it, you will actually lose more than what you have poured into it. So you rather store on the Sterkfontein and keep more of your volumes on the Sterkfontein, understanding that you've got 14 dams that serve the Vaal River system. But that does not mean we have water in abundance. Because even from the source in Lesotho, they themselves have been affected. So there isn't anything in abundance, but there's a possibility of saving. And hence we are saying to Gauteng residents, rather stop doing many other things, save water. If we can save, especially in Gauteng, they will be out of the woods. What you find now, 40% of what is being allocated for consumption in terms of drinking, cooking, and all those things is used to irrigate gardens and your golf estates and cleaning your pavements and stuff. And because municipalities don't enforce bylaws. So hence we're saying to them, we'll give you less. But we're quite humbled that for the past 4 months, there's been a lot of work that has happened, and we are now seeing the implementation, including the drafting of new bylaws by municipalities, and together with them, we think we can be in a position to deal with this. The high heat levels, that again requires me and you behavioral change, but also a responsive municipality. We've now also put a hotline nationally, but we believe that the response has to be swift at the front line, which is at the municipal level. When will we release water from Sterkfontein? You're not going to get it in Gauteng until you behave, including me. The reason being, the minute you fill the Vaal with these high heat levels, you will lose this water. The minute you fill and you abstract and you make sure that Vaal dam is full, fact of the matter is you will not be able to enjoy the total volume of water that would have been there. We are doing it in phases, in a phased approach, so that then the system does not actually collapse. It is now, what we want to ensure is that it does not go below 25%. That we can assure you. We will keep it at that level. And if there is no progress on the side of municipalities, we'll reduce the pressure. So the pressure in your shower is going to be less. It will start with a lesser pressure from the into the reservoir and into the pipes and everywhere. So all that we all need to do is to behave. I'm saying if Gauteng can just save and do things differently, they'll be out of crisis within a period of a year or two, because they can reclaim. Like I'm saying, we've seen in Mogale City how that has actually helped our reservoirs and how they look like. We will not necessarily switch off altogether from source. But municipalities themselves will have to deal with the issue of the pressure, particularly for those who are at areas that need, yes, like where you have to then pump more. So there are those kind of discussions. Rainwater is busy with the water utilities in the various areas. Chair, before I even stop on this matter, we must commend KwaZulu-Natal. They had a drought that started during a festive season. We've seen the private sector, institutions of higher learning, people in the agricultural sector, everybody working together. If you ask me where is a best model, with all the problems, not that there are no problems, the best province that has been handling that is KwaZulu-Natal, because the MEC has become the face. And all mayors are working together with the MEC. The private sector has come on board. Richards Bay could have shut off almost a year ago, but the mining industry in Richards Bay has come forward, and hence they are also part of the desalination and so on. So, no, they don't have. No, please, man.
You are eating on your tummy.
In fact, what I want to suggest is, it will be good, like I've said, get COCTA to bring KZN. You'll hear their problems, their constraints, and how they have actually learned to adapt, which has become more important. Having six rivers running dry and being able to survive, it's something that I think this house should also look at and say, how did they come around these issues? I support the issue of creating mechanisms to brief the committee on any emergency and diversion from the annual performance plan, and hence we will bring the report on what exactly have we done against this 39% performance. And I think we can be ready in a week or so on that. And even on the restructuring of the department, the water boards, the construction unit, and so on and so forth. I still want to recommend, Chair, that moving forward, the relationship between this portfolio committee and COCTA and Treasury is very important, so that we formalize our deliberations here and we are able to see how best we can deal with our own challenges, and maybe at some point bring human settlement, because it does also impact on this particular portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, yes. One point before Minister leaves. Before you leave, Minister, we have not dealt with issues of sanitation in detail. And I think that because the manner in which you elaborated on the other part of the department, it's very detailed and you hands-on. And that is appreciated. It must be noted. It's very rare that you'll find this kind of interaction where we appreciate the engagement with the minister. We want to appreciate that. But I thought it's important. But to say that the issue of sanitation must never miss it, it's something that we'll have to deal with.
That's why she is leaving, and the rest of the team led by the acting DG is here to deal with those. Okay, thanks for that, Minister.
It's again about enforcement of bylaws. If there's a butcher somewhere in the township, it must be the municipality that enforces the bylaws. Imithetho emele ukuthi isebenzwe futhi igcinezelwe ibona abantu bakwamasipala, because kunemithetho ebizwa ama-bylaws engaphani nemvume yokwenza izinto ngaphandle komthetho. So uma kuney'nkinga ezifana nalezo, kungakho ngithi mamkhawula, asihlanganeni nekomiti le-COCTA sibatshele lezinto about lokho esikubonayo kube masipala.
Sibongile umama Khawula, ungikhumbuza Eastern Cape ngelinye ilanga kwi-local newspaper laphaya, imvo zabantsundu ithi kubanjwe umntu nevenda, kwakuwusidi mufamati loyo eGoli. Thanks for that. We continuing, DG.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, committee members, and colleagues. I think the minister has really dealt a lot. I think she even knows my job more than the way I know it. I'm getting worried because the responses, I think she just hit the nail on the head in most of the responses. I think, and the chief whip has also explained, I think the mistake, Chair, that really happened was that the money was not lost. The mistake we made as a department is when we changed allocations and we diverted them to drought, we did not come back to the portfolio committee and change our indicators such that it's in line with the APP. But I do know that maybe my colleague Babaya can elaborate on that, that there are restrictions in terms of when and how you can change your indicators in the APP. But as the minister has explained, we started the financial year with that 1.6 billion in infrastructure that was supposed to have been a rollover, and the rollover was not approved, meaning that we had those commitments, projects were already running. So we had to absorb that within the same budget. And unfortunately, rollover, you only get informed around July. You would have started the financial year and you would have started with indicators of the previous year that we are going to submit now in December. Now, that is where the challenge was, Chair. I think the minister has explained to a certain extent, really, most of the things that one would have wanted to. I think I'm just going to go straight to the issue of Swartruggen. Swartruggen, as we spoke with you, Chair, over the phone, the implementing agent that had been allocated that task was Magalis. And they have admitted that they did not take the instruction as I had given it to them. And unfortunately, people will always hide behind someone who was there and he's no longer in that position. But I have since acted on that, and I have identified. I had the proposal had been that we needed to connect them to Grootna Rico Dam. And when I was asking them now to say why has it not happened, then they explained that what they did at that time, they re-equipped the boreholes that were existing in the area. Where we all knew, and there is a study that is indicating in that particular area that their water table is too low. For us to be investing a lot on boreholes in that area is like a futile exercise. So they did not take that instruction. But then when we are trying now to resuscitate that proposal of Grootna Rico, it is coming out that Grootna Rico is also very, very low. But then quickly what we have done is we have identified a pipeline. There is a pipeline that is owned by a mine. We are negotiating with that mine to connect, just to connect a pipeline that will then go to Swartruggen's treatment plant as a temporary measure, because there are no rains that are coming, the water table is too low, Grootna Rico is too low, all the other dams, when you do the analysis, we think the best bet will be that pipeline. But in the next meeting, I can maybe appraise the meeting in terms of how far we've gone. Unfortunately, I will still remain with Magalis because DG had already approved. I think we approved around February, that thing of Gekeng, but they had not acted on it. But we will proceed with them. There is a new CE who is acting now. He came last week when I was on leave and we discussed it. And we agreed that we are going to tap into that pipeline. And they are already working on it. And then on the issue of why targets were not met, is it capacity? And what are the implications? I think that's a very key question that came in terms of what are the implications of the diversion of drought, of money to drought interventions in the next coming year. I think, and the minister is not here, but we have not consulted with the minister, but we have discussed it with the DG. The reality is that we don't see ourselves taking any new project this next financial year. Next financial year, we will have to make sure that those projects that were delayed because funds had to be diverted to drought intervention, that they then get completed. We then have to look. There are other areas we are discussing as we speak. By the way, there's a meeting sitting in my office that we have convened. There's a new leadership at COCTA, and we have all agreed that The reality is that the value chain of water starts at water affairs, but it ends with them. And planning separately is not helping us. They are now planning for the year, and we will be meeting in the next 2 years, 2 weeks, we'll be meeting with provinces, but it's a national office planning of the team. So there are other projects that they either went ahead on reticulation just because of the way we have been planning these departments. They went ahead with reticulation, and we are lagging behind on bulk. Other areas we went ahead on bulk, and they are lagging behind on reticulation. So next financial year, we're saying it's a year of consolidating. It's no use for us to be taking in new projects. Let's rather consolidate. A classic case is the Pisana. There is a dam there, but reticulation, if you look at their projection, it will be finished in the next 10 years. So it's no use for us to be saying we've put a dam, we've got a beautiful treatment plan there, and then we are not working together to say how do we then, at least over the 3 years, reticulate that whole area, even if it means tapping into our own resources. So next financial year, we may come with a completely new framework in terms of how we are going to deploy funds. But the issue is we're not starting any new projects. We don't see ourselves being able to accommodate any new project. Another thing is that we will then look at completing projects that are where the reticulation is lagging or where bulk is not complete. Okay, I've touched on the relationship between COGTA and the department. I think that's about all, Chair, on my side.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Honourables, and all protocol observed. The Minister requested that I explain the planning process and touch on the drought interventions. Upfront apology if I'm going to sound like a stuck record, because I've indicated and explained this before. But the planning process on the water resources, I'm going to touch on the planning process on the water resources and then the drought interventions, and then I'll also indicate the planning process of the water services. The planning process starts with the all-town studies, where we assess where the water levels or the water balance of all towns. Then it moves to the recon strategies, where we look at the demand versus what availability, which then moves to the feasibility plans after we have taken all other measures that can be taken or that are possible before we venture into thinking of infrastructure development. Now, the infrastructure development, as we all know, major there is dam construction or the feasibility plan for a dam. The feasibility plan actually means where are we going to place this dam for optimal yield. Let me leave the planning process there, because now once the feasibility plan is completed, it goes to infrastructure development, to my colleague Zandile. The drought interventions, as already mentioned by the Minister and the questions from Honourable there, we start with restrictions. We do rehabilitation of boreholes. We drill new boreholes, transfer schemes from one scheme to another where possible, and it includes desalination. And during the process of all this, we'll do more awareness on conservation of water or water saving. Now, the drought interventions or the drought management we do together with the Drought Disaster Management Center, which is under COGTA. We have regular meetings with them there where these projects are approved. The water services, on the water services side, especially for the regional bulk projects, there is a developed project rating process. This project rating process has got 10 elements, and each element has got sub-elements. For example, let me name them to yourself. Strategic importance, under strategic importance, for example, we check a sub-element. One of the sub-elements there would be backlogs. Is this area affected by backlogs, or does this area have backlogs on access to water? Extent of the cost ratio per person, per capita consumption, and the extent of non-revenue water. If there's a high level of or high percentage of non-revenue water, that area does not get to be that prioritized. And then there's functional criticality of the scheme. A sub-element there, one of the sub-elements there would be other connecting infrastructure in place. Then we have institutional capacity. Is there institutional capacity to implement the project? Availability of co-funding, as you know that RBIC has got co-funding requirement. And we have implementation readiness. For example, is the EIA completed? Do we have an approved EIA? So that is what we do for sort of, one can say, waiting the project to see as to whether we need to be doing a feasibility there or not, or whether we need to prioritize that particular project. So that goes for that. But I also need to indicate or reiterate that we do work with COCTA. For example, tomorrow there's the MINMEC meeting to which we are party to, and that we have to attend with them. And there's more engagement with them. It's not only at high level, at operational level as well. And I think that's about all that I was requested to make input on. I think Minister has elaborately explained the Valdem and the Sterkfontein relationship. I don't have to repeat that. The Northwest issue has also been explained quite adequately by my colleague Izandile here.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. The questions that I'm going to deal with, and Minister has touched on it at high level, but I will zoom in on the specific questions. Chairperson, two issues from your side. The issue of the capacity and the capability of the department. I think we have to acknowledge that we've made an improvement under the leadership of the Minister and the DG and the CFO in the financials. But on the issue of the non-financial performance, I think that the department has to tighten up and ensure that if we set the targets, then we must meet the targets. But there has been an explanation of why some of the targets were not met. Chairperson, you also raised the issue of the irrigation boards. I know it is a critical matter, close to your heart, and it deals with the larger issue of transformation of the water sector. We have now a roadmap to show how we will transform these irrigation boards, disestablish some of them, consolidate some of them. And you will recall in 2013, we took the policy position, which was approved by Cabinet, to disestablish irrigation boards in favor of water user associations. So we'll be happy to come and present that to you on the next occasion. And similarly, you will recall that we have, in that same policy decision of 2013, called for the establishment of the catchment management agencies to deal with our integrated water resource management at local level. And the work that they're doing is critically important in terms of pollution, etc. Honorable Chalker's questions, sir, the bigger question you ask of who owns water. It was obviously Chairperson's original question thrown to us. It's now become so popular that we discuss it over lunchtime in the department. But The transformation aspect of it is that we have the 1956 Act, which dealt with riparian ownership of water, and then the 1998 Act, which dealt with water being in the custodianship of the minister. Through the water allocation reform program, through licensing, compulsory licensing, we are making various processes to make sure that we have more water to be available for new communities, for new industries, and for those who never ever had water in their lives. So that is our water allocation reform program, which is aligned or linked with our legislation. But in terms of where we are doing, before we can embark on the exercise we have to measure the water that is available. That is the validation and verification exercise which we are now currently underway with. Then the issue the debt owed by the municipalities to the water boards. It's currently sitting at 3.1 billion, with Siribeng Water being owed 2 billion by Machibeng Municipality. It's a cyclical problem. It's a problem that we have encountered, and as Minister articulated the issue of how we deal with it, but it's entrenched in the principle of the user pay. And hence the encouragement of if the municipalities, if the consumers pay the municipalities, the municipalities should be then paying the water boards, because the non-payment is a serious threat to the future sustainability of water boards. In fact, that's the reason why some of the water boards had to be disestablished in historically over the years. Mark Aula's question, we had, I think 2 weeks ago, had a meeting in Maribeng. We had, under the leadership of the chair, called a meeting with the business community, and I was part of that meeting, and the issue of the abattoir and the issue of the butchery is being dealt with. I'm leading that process with the Maribeng municipality to hold people accountable, and we have a report that will be presented at the end of the month. That is our timeline on that. But I think that this committee has done sterling work in oversight in Maribeng and other areas. It is a demonstration of the leadership of the committee and caring about making a difference. And so we will support that work. The report will deal with who are the culprits and how we intend to deal with them. But this particular abattoir has been issued with directives, has in the past been dealt with in terms of the water legislation. Where the problem lies is in enforcing the local bylaws against this particular municipality. The process of, Minister spoke about the process of reforming the water law, the water laws, the National Water Act and the Water Services Act. But we're also reforming the policy landscape as well. And we had the bill is intended to be tabled to Cabinet next year, in the first quarter, and then we'll bring it to Parliament. We can speak about the bill as having a larger transformation effect in terms of transforming the water sector, but also taking cognizance of the fact that the Water Services Act is now 1997 legislation, which has now been overtaken by the Municipal Services Act and the Municipal Structures Act. In that conversation, the question also arises is probably we want to look at asking for a transfer of the function of how we allocate status of water services authorities and water service providers, and rather than it be lying with COCTA, it should lie with the minister. And that's how we will, as part of the conversation that is ongoing with COCTA. In terms of the agency, we hope to be able to finalize that process very soon. And of course, the agency is coming from the National Development Plan, the infrastructure agency, which sees a consolidation or kind of merger of the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, dealing with the aspect of raising capital in the open markets, and then the infrastructure team that deals with actual construction. That is a key priority of the department, and Minister has given us the line of march on that aspect. I think, Chairperson, reform of the water boards is taking place rapidly. We see now with KZN, we're working towards a single water board for wall-to-wall services, and especially for the poor communities. So I think I've covered pretty much the points that I'd asked you to. So thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Makonda? Mr. Chauke?
Thanks, Chair.
Of course.
I had requested an information in relation to transfer by departments to water boards. I think there are a number of them. I just wanted to understand the actual spending by these water boards on behalf of the departments on the project that they are implementing. I requested that information, Chair. If they don't have, then they can just prepare that information in writing and submit to the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. The point that is raised by a colleague is a very important point. It goes back to our engagement with the AG when we deal with issues of the audit. Because the question that we asked was that if your regular expenditure that has been identified, the current one that we are dealing with here, it came because of a transfer to a implementing agent. How many of or how much of the amount that has been allocated to the department that has been transferred to other implementing agents? It's very critical because that's how we're going to be able to measure financial control and financial management in the department. The second part of this question that the colleague has asked is that, and I think, DG, you need to note this part, that there is nowhere, DG, that all the water boards will operate or implementing agents will operate on an emergency basis. It's not correct. It can't be. It means that there's no compliance, full compliance with PFMA that in fact guides the entire budget that has been allocated of the department. Because your agency will then pick and choose any company of their choice within their own term, which does not speak to the arrangement of PFMA. They are audited separately from the PFMA. And therefore, if that money has been transferred in that area, it means that money was not being audited. On your side, it's audited as a transfer, but on the implementation side, it's different. And we are not able to measure the work done at the same time. So this point, it's very important, will require that moving forward, you sort of help us to have that understanding and the arrangement in place. the director there was responsible for issues of boards and all of these agencies. The monitoring mechanism in place, I think, is very critical. But we are told this is the capacity that we have built. This is our monitoring implementation or whatever programs that these boards are finding themselves having to implement now, programs that are supposed to be implemented by the department, which the chair in his input that is not correct. It had to come to an end somehow. So that unit is given its full responsibility as a unit dealing with infrastructure. Because currently you have not performed much, because most of your budget has been moved into emergencies arrangements. So that unit has not performed. Now, both me and the chair were exposed to problems of the boards. And all of them, in fact, they have problems. Within, I'm not talking now implementation problems, their own problems. You know, the chair does not speak to this and all of that. Both me and the chair are exposed to that. And I'm saying that it's an area that you need to attend to it. You know, the failure to deliver service starts from the management. And that's where you then get element of fighting over the resources, elements of corruption and all of that. So some of these things we have noted them, but we are not engaging with them on the annual report as we deal with it today because it's work done. But I'm saying you need to know these areas because it has come to our attention as a committee that there are these problems that are there. Now, Chair, the environmental, the assessment or research services, they in the AGs, we don't have much capacity in that area. And I think you may want to share with this committee as to, in this financial year, what capacity have you put in place and what are the challenges around your people, individual. I mean, I'm not talking of your technical people that deal with issues of that particular area. So you may want to share with us as to what are the constraints or do we have enough capacity in dealing with such matters. Now, the audit action plan, your contract now with the Auditor General, DG, just share with this committee, because part of dealing with the annual report, you'll have to get into that point of the audit action plan. That these are the findings by the Auditor General. Obviously, both yourself and the CFO will have to have that information. These are the findings, and this is how we are resolving this, what's called, these issues that are raised by the AG. On the financial side, obviously, the CFO will champion that part. The general issues, non-financials, again, we want to have the copy of that action plan. It's important for the committee so that we are able to monitor you, starting dating back. You can even go back 3 years back to look at all those. Because last year there was, in the last financial year, there was a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There was a regular expenditure. How those were dealt with speaks to the next financial year again. You know, so that the point that a honorable member next to me here raised was that at what point are we going to have a clean operation where we don't have any findings, especially on financial controls. So we'll have to be able to measure you around that particular area, DG. I know that the minister will have covered a number of areas, but this is your test now as the DG now. Your capacity to marshal your team to make sure that there's compliance and all of that. But all in all, to follow PFMA to the latter. PFMA required to do the following. You cannot just, as I have said earlier, you need to put up an investigation. You know, you need to have a team that does that. So we must be assured. When you go to Parliament, in the Parliament debate now, we must be certain that, in fact, these issues, as we defend, because at some point we have to encourage you, you have done well. You have done very, very well. But we must be satisfied that these areas are areas that are of concern, and therefore the department has a plan to resolve these issues. I think, Chair, those are my last point with regard to this issue. And then maybe as we do that, Chair, just receive a presentation from sanitation it may be general, but there are issues in sanitation that we'll want to hear. What is the status there? Because you have not met your target. You said in a particular year you will have eradicated the bucket system. But there seems to be a recycling. Even the bucket themselves are not being destroyed, they're being recycled. You know, whoever that you appoint as a service provider, take this bucket, washes them, put them somewhere, you create another squatter camp, you move with buckets quickly. You're not eradicating. So I'm saying that it's important, Chair, that we sort of get a brief around sanitation, this recycling of a bucket system, that it does not end. Thank you.
Quick one, because we must... Did you have your hand up? Okay. Quickly.
The quick one, Chair. On the irregular expenditure that are on the report, we just want to... We had a lengthy discussion with AG. We just want to understand whether you did disclose them or the AG just found them themselves. Thanks.
Ma'am Kaula?
Khona la nami engizothanda ukuthi ke ngiqhubeke khona ke ngifuna ukwazi thola incazelo noma ba declare it in English. Ilento yokuthi ngempela angazi noma ngizobe ngiyamphoxa nisihlalo honorable uMathe. Ngoba lapha makuthinteka lapha eKhahleng ningixolele mangibiza kahle. Kunento eyavela lapha nakhona sangathi ezofuna ihambe ifuna ukuqhandwa ebukeka ezigebengu. Mhlawumbe uyakhumbula lapha sihlale kwawena uQobo wagcina usubukeni into eyayisidlalwa lapha ngesiZulu sithi umashibheshi la waqhamuka omunye lapha waqala wacasha kwaphinde wafika kwaqhamuka omunye kwadlalwa ngathi kwakufonelwa umhlonishwa lana uMathe kwathola kathi le nto ekhulunywa beyi-3 bakhuluma into ehlukene. Sicela akachazele leli komiti ukuthi ngempela umhlonishwa wami lo phambili uMathe uZandile wazini ngendaba seKhahlenki. Uma ngabe khona into ayaziyo yini isinyathelo sesithathile, ngoba laba bantu njengoba ngikhuluma nawo amanzi abanawo, kodwa kuphela into abawubabona omunye ukuthi kushoda imali, sicela imali, yabona iy'nkulumo zabayibambeki. Okokugcina ngizogcwalisa ngakho la, ngezwa unkosazana wami la nezansi uthi bayasebenzisana nokhokta. Yes, bayasebenzisana nokhokta and the speak. Besicela sihlale ukwenze ngempela manje baba ukuthi ake benze sihlale nabo laphansi noma wenze indlela uKhotha noSalka, ngoba uSalka u-SA imele iSouth Africa Local Government Association. So labo bantu bonke siyabadinga lamaka-environment. Ngigcwalisela lokhu uMinister kusho ukuze sikwazi ukuhamba kanye, ngoba mina ngeke ngivume ukuthi bathi bayasebenzisana, ngoba thina esihleli la noma esilapha phansi asiboni yenzeka. Kuyimanje omasipala bakhombisa ukukhulu ukudedengu, amanzi achachaza khona indawo la okudlule khona kuzobe buhlungu umisa imoto yakho. Amanzi umasipala anendaba noma ungamfonela kayenze lutho. And ngiyakuphika futhi lokhu ukuthi imeya nazo zinayo umfutho, mhlambe ziyasebenzisana. Yes, ziyasebenzisana mhlambe mangabe kuxoxwa, kodwa ukusebenza ngempela ukuthi kuye kubantu akwenzeki. Ngiyacela bakithi ngesihle, ngoba ngeke ngisivume ukuthi sihlale la sihlalele into obonayo ukuthi umphakathi wethu uyahlupheka. Ngiyabonga.
In summary, the members asked regarding the area in Gauteng where issues were raised, and she feels that maybe an investigation should be done there because they seem to be playing a game of hide and seek. She referred to an official by Mrs. Mate who was called, and then there were 3 different stories that were relayed. What does she know about this issue? What action is being taken there, if any? And then she requested that maybe if we the department or if the committee can get COCTA and SALCA together to engage COCTA, SALCA and Environmental Affairs, maybe to engage so that they can see eye to eye and operate from the same page. And the last point was regarding municipalities, and she expressed that some municipalities are very responsible because sometimes you see water being wasted, water flowing from pipes, past pipes, and something should be done about that because people on the ground don't have water. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry.
Ngibonge Sihlalo. Chairperson, just wanted just to establish from the department. I understand the department does Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries does the same with regards to the drilling of boreholes and refurbishing of them in the areas. I just want to establish, is there any coordination between the two departments with regards to identifying the spots where those boreholes would be installed in order to avoid a duplication somehow, where you could find in one the same ward, you find boreholes being dug, whereas the certain section of the community does not receive that service of having boreholes with the current situation of the drought, Chairperson, that we are having in our country. Thank you.
The figure of 2 billion rand owing to Citibank is quite a huge sum out of 3.1 billion. You have Machabank that owes Citibank. You just wonder what could really be involved in this 2 billion rand. It may not be for yourselves. It may be for Citibank. It may also be for Machabank municipality itself. But this is quite a huge sum. You begin to wonder what could be constituting this 2 billion rand and the age of this debt itself. But more of concern for me as we proceed going forward is, and perhaps it could be a discussion for some other time, but if there is any commentary to be made now, that would be most welcome. Your Vision 2030 talks about three things: unemployment, poverty, and also inequality. My little understanding of how things work is that with employment opportunities, because I believe quite strongly that government also does form part of, you know, a sector within the economy that employs. We have since been brainwashed lately into believing that only the private sector employs. All what government does simply is to create an environment that is conducive for investors to come. Of course, that government does play that role. Today, we have a public works that is not living up to its expectations. And I would have imagined, you know, parallel that public works having to have a construction unit. A simple analogy says, if you create more jobs, if I understand very well that you I'll be corrected, your construction unit has anything in excess of 4,000 employees, just that unit alone. If I'm incorrect, I shall be corrected. Previously, you would have had a public works department that was very effective and very efficient. That is now during apartheid days, to a point where, as a working person, lingering around in the streets, you'll be arrested during working hours because you'd be expected to be at work. Now, if you are to say that 2030 vision seeks, among others, to talk a serious dent on unemployment, and naturally for me, when anybody is employed, the levels of inequality, they get to be thinner. And naturally, the levels of poverty, they get to be seriously dented. So if we were to focus, I hear what you are all saying, including what the minister was saying about the unit itself. But what I would have thought is that having to have that unit being at play, you know, expected to do all what is expected in terms of its own terms of reference, we shall, as a contribution, department's contribution, towards reducing those numbers of unemployed, by the time we are talking to 2030, you shall have done a greater deal of reducing of that inequality and also that poverty. That's precisely what is entailed in getting to say, here are jobs. I'm very keen to learn a lot more from the department. One, about the role of that construction unit and the numbers involved, and also going forward, your comment about what I've just made as a statement with regards to the role that, you know, employment creation can play in really contributing as a department towards this broader vision of 2030, doing away with a number of those things in those triple forms of oppression.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll start with the issue of the emergency directives that we give to our implementing agents. I think it would be fair that we provide a detailed report in terms of how much have we spent on emergency directives to the water boards. But it's also true that not all directives to the implementing agents are on that directives are on an emergency basis. It's true that if they don't follow proper supply chain processes, issues get flagged on our books because demand is part of our vote. Hence, we have revised our SCM policy as well as the MOUs in terms of how we deal with the implementing agents, in terms of making sure that they do comply with supply chain processes in terms of the money that we transfer to them to implement some of the projects that we want them to implement. I think we'll provide a detailed report. I know the CFO has given me the information, but I think it's better that we provide a detailed report. There was also a request that we have just responded to. It asked for the number of directives that we have given to the water boards in the last 5 years. But I think that one lacks the issue of the amounts in terms of how much have we did provide the numbers, how many there were, but I think we need to redo it looking at how much those directives carried. But we'll provide a detailed report on that. The issue of monitoring mechanism in place in the department, besides the issues raised by the oversights like the AG as well as our internal audit, the department is very serious in terms of addressing the issue of the internal control environment. Chair, in our presence here, we have the chairperson of the audit committee sitting at the back there. We have appointed a new audit committee. We also have a chief risk officer in the department. All the reports of the internal audit, as well as the reports of the AG, the minute they have been finalized through the office of the chief risk officer, they compile an action plan for all the audits. You rightfully said that in the previous year, we had some of them. Yes, what I found when we got there in the department last year, that we had some of these reports, especially from internal audits, but we found that they were not sort of the drive to address the issues on them. There was no appetite at the time. So we have made sure that we draw action plans. They get presented to the audit committee. Also in our weekly top management, once a month, the chief risk officer comes and presents his report, where is a place where of name and shame to say these are the issues that have raised with this program, DDG. These issues have not been addressed, or they have been addressed. Then at that point, that's where all of as a collective, we sort of, if there's any assistance that is needed in that unit, we provide assistance. But if it's an issue of not coming to a party, then the accounting officer takes action against that relevant DDG. But it is an issue that is of concern and an issue that we take very much seriously. Even the chairperson of the audit committee, I know, each time we meet, he starts from where he left last time in terms of the action plans that get provided to him with his members. And the discussions in the past audit committees have been been very robust to an extent that really, as I'm saying, we take it very serious and we are improving our internal control environment. The issue of the irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure, before the audit last year, we promised that we look at the whole supply chain processes, where we look at the accruals, the commitments, irregular expenditure, and frivolous and wasteful expenditure. These were issues that were identified by the department itself. When the AG came, these were the issues. We said we have reviewed all our contracts dating back to 5 years, as well as all those contracts that are still open. We have identified how much has been paid on each contract, how much is still classified as a commitment. Out of that, how much is irregular expenditure? So this came out of our own initiative. Even the issue that is raised on the Lipeland Northern Water, the bulk of our irregular expenditure. We also identified ourselves prior to the finalization of the audit, and the AG confirmed. We even involved the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer. Because the nature of the project was, at the beginning, it was an emergency. But the nature of an emergency is such that you get into an environment, you address the issues, then it's closed. But this has been ongoing for about 2 years now. So that's where we sort of differed with the Office of the Auditor General as well as the National Treasury to say we understood the nature of the project, but it cannot be an emergency forever. Hence, the minister spoke about the closeout report that is coming. If there's any need for the project to go further, then the project will be addressed not as an emergency basis or as a directive as it was, but it will follow the normal supply chain processes. I'll ask DDG Mate to talk about the issue of Gatlin as well as the issue of the construction unit, because it falls directly. She can provide more clarity on that. On those.
Thanks. Mam Kawul, Nkulumang, Nzulu. Oh, should I?
Can I come in?
Yes, okay.
On the issue of the construction unit, I think there's a policy position that the minister has spoken about, and I think that detail has been shared. There will be no need, in fact, to go back to it again, Chair. But I think on the points that you have made, it's something that the department in their policy formulation and approach, they'll have to take into account the issues that you raise. There's no need, in fact, to go back to that. I'm looking at, there are still a lot of issues that we still want to raise, Chair, and that will take more time, in fact.
I think Mrs. Mate was addressing a specific issue that relates to...
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, colleagues. Makaula, I explained what my intervention so far had been, a technical intervention in terms of saying
what happened to the instruction that I gave to Mahalis in February, when I remember I was phoned by one of the ministers who lives around the area, said there is no water here, the dam is dry. And I had instructed them to connect, because their dam had dried up, connect from Groot Mariko to Swartruggens. It's something that we had done about 3 years ago in Emelo, where we connected from a pipeline and we put a temporary pipeline, not underground, on top, just on the surface, as a temporary measure, but it can go up to 10 years. I gave that instruction and I linked them up with the engineer who had done that project in Emelo. I was very surprised as well when Chair called me and I said, and if Chair remembers, I asked them, are you with Mahalis and all those people? And they must tell you, Chair, what I told them. Now, they came back to me after a meeting and they said to me, no, they wanted to do the work, but the former acting CE was reluctant. Now, nobody came to me to say the work had not been done. Now, I took it from there to say, okay, colleagues, we just have to make sure that we get water. In terms of who did what, when and how, we may have to raise it with Mahalis board, but I think also the fact that that person is no longer even in the position, it becomes very difficult. I don't know how true it is that it was him who stopped them. But what we have agreed upon with them is that now we have to identify another source, because Groot Mariko, the latest figures are saying Groot Mariko is also very low. We can no longer tap into Groot Mariko. Then they told me that they have already moved, they have done an analysis, they have identified a pipeline that is owned by a mine, and they need my assistance in terms of accessing that pipeline. And we are meeting with them on Monday to make sure that we finalize our plan, but the only available source at the moment is that pipeline. They are telling me that when we gave them that instruction, what they did was they focused more on re-equipping the boreholes that were existing in that particular area. And unfortunately, even those boreholes have dried up. That's when I reminded them that that's why I had said, do not touch the boreholes, because I am aware that the water table is very low there. It was not going to be sustainable. So I think that's how far I've gone. The challenge I'm having is that I had instructed an implementing agent in the form of Mahalis, and my hands are tied in terms of instituting disciplinary measures, and the person that they are saying is no longer, they are saying is the one who refused for them to follow that measure, is no longer even in the organization. So I'm really not sure on how to pursue, except to say I have taken it with vigor, the issue of looking for a technical solution, and I am doing that one. And I've given them, I said, at least in 3 months' time, the pipeline must be finished. And I'm hoping that their procurement processes will move faster.
Okay, thanks. I wonder whether we still have any other issues. We still do.
Two.
We have two.
I have two.
And the whip has got many.
Yeah.
And Mr. Basson is exhausted. And Mrs. Baker is almost ready to go home.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Makonda?
Yes, Chair.
And those issues are going to be raised.
Yeah. Straight
to the point.
That's
no
forward,
preamble.
Chair.
No historical background. Starting from a primitive commune.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I think the commitment. I think we have requested those figures in relation to transfer, but the commitment is not forthcoming, Chair. And I would be happy if the DG should have said, I don't have that information for now, but I can go back and prepare them. This is, when are you going to get that information? Then I will be comfortable. Secondly, there was a request that we get a little presentation, but also progress on sanitation, particularly with the bucket system. It was not attended to.
Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Choker?
Maybe you ought to sit next to me. You know, the audit action plan is very important. When we do annual report, audit action plan becomes critical because that's a commitment that you make as a department, that we are going to raise, to address these issues in clear timelines. We're not baptizing you with fire, DG, but we're trying to move along with you. We understand that you know, it's a new field for you at that helm. But nonetheless, it's important to do that. Now, Chair, the audit, internal audit committee becomes critical. And I think we need to afford them an opportunity to speak on the 2 points that they raise in the annual report of their concerns. I want them to speak on that so that they are on record. It's important that the chairperson of the audit committee is not here as a spectator, but it's here to participate and to assist, because the capacity of the audit committee helps us of the final outcome of financial controls. We have to understand the operations of the internal audit committee, attendance of meetings. You are, in your report, you allege that you are saying, if not allege, that the Director General, out of the 7 meetings attended, I think it's 1 or it's not attend. I'm not sure which Director General is that one. So I think we need those clarity. They're very important when you do the annual report, because you take the holistic you know, view of the annual report and you break it into those pieces. So that piece is a very important piece, Chair. Without really zooming into, because what we have not done, Chair, we have not gone into a detailed APP. We have not done that, meaning that this engagement here has not compared the annual report and the APP. We have not done that exercise. And we're going to do it quietly as a committee together, as individual members, just to look at when we say you have not met the targets, you are under 50%. These are the following targets that you have not met and all of that. So that your next APP for the 2017-18, as one of the directors said that they correctly said that we are not going to bring new programs or what you call a meaning that they will then resolve to deal with the all agreed upon program. So they must reflect proper so that this year, moving to the next financial year, we must be able to pick up those issues, DG. It's very important, because your planning is going to be in disarray if we are not able to zoom into these areas that we are not able to meet, moving to the new, what you call a year, without having a, what you call a clear understanding of those issues. So I thought those areas are very critical. Sanitation cannot be left outside, Chair. It's very critical that we get a briefing on sanitation and have an understanding of why we are not able to eradicate the baggage system and all of that. It's very important. Thanks.
Mrs. Baker?
Just more about you. I think it's pertinent that we have regular interaction with the audit committee, now that we have a strong, a proper functioning audit committee, or a full functioning audit committee, perhaps on a quarterly basis, as part of risk management, because obviously, as I've pointed out here, the monitoring and the oversight components of the department seem to have been lacking, and that it's all part of risk management. So if we could have that perhaps on a quarterly basis, a report or a presentation by the audit committee that will assist us in our oversight role as well, in what to look for, what to highlight, and progress reports as well. Thanks, Chair.
You see, DG, the challenge we have, I'm literally watching all the members here. They become tired, exhausted in dealing with one issue that is going nowhere. Sometime in December last, not even December, November, if not October. No, October. In fact, a year ago, the department gave us a very you know, stand definitive assurance by March all the buckets shall have been eradicated in the form of settlements. And then we said, no, you're cutting it too short. Let's rather take it to June because of the magnitude of the issues involved. And the DG then, chair, for sure, by March, it's a year later, and we still have the same old issues. That's why you see members here being so tired. They can't, you know, still, you know, with the same energy and vigor, you know, harping on the same issue. Maybe one simple question that must be raised is, what new deadlines or time frames can you give us to eradicate buckets in your former settlements? Maybe that's how we might wish to, rather than, you know, energetically, you know, on the same issue, you know, that's what happens when members raise the same issues time and again. You get so tired, you know, because you know for a fact that you're not going to get much response, if any. Just on this one specific one.
Thanks. I know there's been a number of challenges around the BEP, the Bucket Eradication Program. Maybe in terms of the actual time frame when we're going to finish, I'm going to ask Andre maybe to give a picture on this, because
thank you, Chair, honorable members. I'll attempt to answer that question.
Point of order, Chair.
Yes, sir.
Chair, with your assistance, Chair. You see, when you deal with leadership, the accounting officer, that is a final episode. And when you are given a responsibility by the chair to respond on a serious matter of your department, you can't transfer it without saying anything. It's important that you share with us, a DG, your understanding on this area. It's very important. Then from there, those who are accountable to you can then come after you have spoken. You need to speak on this thing, DG. If you don't speak on this thing, it means that, DG, there's nothing that is happening. We're going to depend on you on this area first. Lay the foundation, let that person who will then speak after you speak and make a follow-up on that. Because if you're going to allow that director to speak, Chair, you're going to create problems. This thing will not move anywhere. You know, and the DG, you understand how critical is this area when it comes to service delivery. So you need to speak to us on that particular area. I'm using my whip at capacity for now. Please just bear with me, because it's a very important point that you must deal with, DG. So it's important that just give us a foundation of that, and then the rest they can then follow.
Okay. Thank you very much, whip. I can see you are really whipping. there's been a number of challenges around the BEP. The one that I'm currently facing as an accounting officer is the issue of funding. We've engaged the National Treasury through the adjustment budget. We've indicated where, since the program is not completed, to say, can they allow us to shift money from one project to another or fund the project going forward? Unfortunately, our request was turned down. because it's quite a significant amount that is needed to finish the project. So the last answer on us was that we need to engage Parliament on this if we really need, and that can only happen around December. So even with the resources that we might have as a department, looking at the issue of unauthorized or irregular, we are sort of engaging National Treasury to find a way of how we can sort of, but the deadline that was put was the end of this year, end of December. But with the issues of funding, we could see that we cannot meet that deadline. But also, besides the funding issues, there were a lot of other issues of litigations and so forth. So the project got delayed. So, yeah. So we are engaging. Tomorrow, I'm also having another meeting with the officials for National Treasury, try to find a solution. But we have to complete the project. Hence, I was a bit reluctant to give the date when are we going to finish this, because until we unlock the issue of funding, the project will sort of derail a bit. But once that is sorted out, because we don't want to incur irregular unauthorized expenditure. The money that was allocated for this project is finished. It's no longer there. So we need either additional money or be allowed to move money within our budget during this adjustment period so that we can complete the project, the program. So I know the answer that I'm giving now is sort of not assisting because it doesn't give a way forward. Yeah, but that's where we are, Chair.
And Chair, I want to be clarified. I thought on this very same program, you have underspent, is it? On the very same program, water and sanitation. Just clarify me, if you're saying you don't have money, what does that mean? I'm checking your annual report here. I think you have underspent by, I think it's 55 million. Yeah. Can I be clarified?
With your permission, Chair, can I ask the CFO to talk to the figures?
Thank you, Acting DG, Chair, Honourable Members. Sorry, Chair, just before we proceed, can we just get clarity here? We are still talking about the bucket eradication program that deals with the historical legacy of buckets in the formal settlements, not new ones that have come. So it's just that pre-94, that same backlog. And there was, and what was the initial target for this program? It's overdue by how many years now? The sanitation program, which is our program 4, it had an underspending of 55 million as a whole, but the portion that was allocated for the bucket eradication was 998 million, and that whole 998 million was actually spent. The underspending that we had of 55 million was coming from the rural households infrastructure grant, not from the bucket eradication, yes, which is a sub-program within program 4. So, but the portion for the bucket was fully exhausted in the 15-16 financial year. And then of that 55 million for the rural households infrastructure grant, where we had an underspending of 48 million, that's when we applied for a rollover of 77 million for this year, which was declined. And then we had to use our own money to take care of those invoices for the rural households infrastructure during the 16-17 financial year. And also, based on our calculation of how much money is required for to complete the bucket eradication. Right now, we had submitted a request to National Treasury to move about, either get an additional 500 million or move with about 500 million within our current budget to be able to finish the bucket program. So even that 55 million, even if it was not for the Rural Households Infrastructure Grant, it would have not been enough to cater for the amount of 500 billion which is required to actually complete the buckets. And that's where we are having engagements with National Treasury in terms of how do we proceed, do we get additional money or do we move money within the department. At the moment, both requests have been declined, both the request to get additional funding and the request to move money within our own budget to cater for this 500 million. Thank you.
Yeah, you see, the challenge with this whole baggage eradication program is that whatever time frames that are now put in place, and this is a program that predates even your department. Commitments were made, President Thabo Mbeki was there, President Jacob Zuma made such commitments. The department was very enthusiastic, full of energy, and was still, if I were to ask directly, how many units are you talking about as we speak now? Outstanding, maybe Mr. Van der Walt.
Between two implementing agents and the department, we're sitting with about 24,000 outstanding.
Outstanding. Yeah,
correct.
And which are those?
Two water boards, Bloem Water Free State and Sedibeng Water in Northern Cape. Those are the two agencies still busy with about 11,000 buckets. 15,000 of that with the department and our contractors to conclude.
And what about Amatola Water?
That's a dry sanitation. That's a rural household sanitation program. That's not buckets, Jefferson.
Mr. Sir?
Did I hear correct? You said 22,000 buckets in the Free State. Left. How much?
Honorable member, it's about 24,000 buckets outstanding.
Total?
Yes. Okay. Of about 11,000 of them in Free State and Northern Cape through two implementing agents, 15,000 of those remaining with the department to conclude.
Okay.
I guess this is going to be a work in progress area. Almost on any of and every of our agenda, we shall have to have that item. It's an item that shall permanently be on our agenda, permanently, until a resolution is established on this particular one. Perhaps what shall assist us should be to get an indication from the department. I hear all the stories about National Treasury committing or not, but it should be important that we get a definitive indication as to when are we... I think that question permanently must be there, as to when are we going to eradicate these buckets in this formal settlement. Mr. Chow?
Yeah, now the DG, in his response, said that the Treasurer said they must come to Parliament. In Parliament, it means you must come to the committee, if I heard him well. It was clear that there is no allocation. And it's up to the committee when we deal with the issue of budget and how we can amend budget. Parliament has power to amend budget, by the way. And I think that's what must happen. Clear that you're not going to get assistance. So I think you need to prepare a memo to the committee. but simple is to come and present fully. what is it that they require for the committee to intervene on behalf of this program in the budget day making process. Your 2017-2018 becomes critical. And especially now in December when we're going to be dealing with adjustments and all of that, this committee must be able to make a recommendation as to what must happen with regard to our budget. But what worries again is that the rural part is still lacking. There's money that is lying there. Either it's a question of capacity to spend, or we have not identified. This money end up going back to treasury again at some point. So I think we have to do that. But my point again, Chair, before I leave, the issue of the audit plan is very important. And I've asked the DG if you have that audit action plan. If you have it, please, let's have a copy of it. It's going to help us to do oversight over you on the issues raised by the AG. And again, before you close, the internal audit committee is here. They've raised issues, and I thought it's important that members were saying that we have to interact with that unit of the department, which is a very important unit, to give them a particular, time now, maybe 2 minutes, just to speak on the issues that they have identified as a weakness in the department. And the question that I was asking was the functioning of the internal audit committee. Is it meeting regularly and all of that, Are they capacitated? Because they raise issues of capacity in a number of areas. So it's important that we hear them. Then that will be the end for my section.
You covered, Mr. Person? Okay. Perhaps you see this session that we are in now is a session that is expected to do those adjustments. In fact, recommendations out of this budget review recommendation report go to Standing Committee on Appropriation. They're having their meeting where they finalize their report on the 7th of December. So if we're also to be able to cost what you are talking about now in dealing with this backlog, I think that shall assist us. As part of our report, this report goes straight to that standing committee and also the finance committee. It gets to be all part of that report that goes straight into that budget cycle for the next financial year. We are here to assist you, but we don't want to be assisted. Why?
No, Chair, we will follow that process. We'll submit the memo with the proper costing on the backlog on bucket eradication. So maybe it was a way of introducing the subject to the committee to say we need to come to the committee because we've tried other means, but they've referred us back.
Have you costed it?
Yes, we have costed it, yes.
What figures are we talking about?
About 500 million. 500 million. But we'll revisit and look at it and proper costing on the backlog, and we'll provide the proper costing per each area where there's backlog. Part of the problem of this...
But if you address all these other issues that relate to this, at one point we were still to deal with norms and standards so that you don't have a Rolls-Royce toilet costing, what, 30,000? That's why I'm raising the issue, because you needed to standardize your unit, cost per unit. You needed to do that so as to be able to justify the figure you're talking about. Andre, you were...
Yes, we have done that on a number of areas.
Where is that?
We can present when we bring the report.
No, send us through.
Okay, it's fine, we can do that. But on a number of areas, related to the project. We have costed, we have provided guidelines for costing of the project from the toilet to the pipelines to professional fees, other services that are required for the implementation of the project. That is available, and on the basis of that, we now have a properly costed budget as to what is, that is required to complete this project. But we can send that through, it's fine.
Okay. I think we're done. Except for the audit team.
That's fine, I'll come.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. I'm happy to precede the Chairperson of the Audit Committee of the Department. I just want to touch on some of achievements. This Audit Committee was appointed on the 1st of April, and it consists of three members. The previous Audit Committee was consisting of seven members, so it was reduced to three members. What we did since April, we reviewed the Audit Committee Charter, and that is approved by the Minister. And what we've included in the Charter is the attendance of the Audit Committee. Included there is if a member of the Audit Committee, the three external members, do not attend two subsequent meetings without a valid reason, the Minister can end the contract. From the Department, the DG, the two CFOs, the risk officer, that are compulsory to attend. If the DG can't attend, at this stage, he must get a letter from the Minister addressed to the Chairperson and say why he can't attend, and also who will be the acting DG at that Audit Committee. And it cannot be the CFO or the two CFOs and not the Chief Risk Officer. If the low people, the CFO or the Chief Risk Officer cannot attend, the same must be done, a letter signed by the DG why they cannot attend, and then who will be the acting. If you look at the my report, in the annual report, all those members that didn't attend was the previous seven that we've included. If my memory serves me correct, the last three is the new members, and we've attended all of the meetings that was arranged. What we also did, we approved the internal audit charter as well as the plan. We've made sure that the plan is risk-based, and also the plan gets reviewed on a quarterly basis because the risks change. And one of the risks and that they must do now for the audit committee is the audit of projects. And we must remember that internal audit is the assurance provider for the audit committee. So we really zoom into internal audit because, as I said, they are the assurance provider. We also want them to review the interim financial statements on a quarterly basis that the CFOs must submit to the audit committee. And we will also have a look there, especially coming to year end, if internal audit didn't pick up the material misstatements, but the AG comes and picked it up, then there's a problem. We must remember that the audit committee is a high-level oversight independent body, so we don't go into details like working papers if we have a look at the financial statements. We've reviewed the annual financial statements, the management report and the audit report, and I've issued a report to be included in the annual report. And as you are aware, on the trading entity, there's still a dispute on the audit opinion. What we've also doing for the first time, After the first quarter meeting, and all our meetings are scheduled already till end of March. So we don't schedule it, this after this meeting for the next meeting. So there's no excuses for people that cannot attend without a real valid reason. And after each quarterly meeting, I write a report on the department as well as the entity to the minister. And I submit that report to the minister, and at least twice a year I want a meeting with the minister. That is where mainly we discuss shortcomings, problems, red lights, and then also recommendation. We can't enforce any what they must do, we can just make a recommendation. But if you look at the audit report, or more in detail, the management report, the auditor general was not happy with the audit committee, but that was the previous one. I can promise this portfolio committee that coming the next management report, you won't find findings on the audit committee. I will make sure that we will do what we must do. The meeting with the minister, the first quarter, must still be set up. I had a chat with her just before the meeting, so that will be my first meeting with her. Then we also had one-on-one meetings with the DG, Auditor General, and also Internal Audit. And then the department's got an unqualified audit opinion. I think we can celebrate maybe for a day, but that is not the ultimate. We must now move to clean audit, and I will come to that later, what we will do from an audit committee to assist the department to get a clean audit. And then I must also emphasize that the cooperation from management, in the beginning it was a little bit tough till they actually get used to the new audit committee, but the cooperation is really good from management. The challenges, we must now sustain the unqualified audit opinion, and we must now move to clean audit. There are two issues if we want to move to clean audit, that the audit committee will also make a priority for this financial year, is the non-compliance with laws and regulations. Because we must remember, if it's unqualified, but we've got findings on compliance with laws and the regulations, and or predetermined objectives, there's no clean audit. So it must be unqualified plus no findings on non-compliance with laws and regulations, and no findings in the audit report on predetermined objectives. What is the problem on non-compliance with laws and regulations? Quality of the quarterly financial statements that was submitted, and also the final set of financials that was submitted to the Auditor General. They identified material misstatements. So there, we will have a look at it on a quarterly basis, and we will also get assurance from internal audit. Then supply chain management, irregular expenditure. It must be zero. There's no excuse why we cannot make it zero. Because if we want to deviate, we can deviate with the valid reasons. So it must be zero. A lot of departments get no irregular expenditure, so this department can also. And as I say, if it is urgent and you must deviate, there are regulations that say exactly on which basis can you deviate. And then fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Predetermined objectives is also a problem at the department, and that's something that we must have a look now, because it could impact our clean audit. The first is the APP. The AG also assisted the department before it is submitted to the minister. They also have a look at it, that the targets are smart. What are the problems on predetermined objectives? Usefulness. indicators and targets, we must make sure that it's well-defined, verifiable, specific, measurable, time-bound, and relevant. And then also the reliability of performance information. It must be valid, accurate, and complete. I think they had a look at three programs, and so three times two, because it's usefulness and reliable. In the management report, there were six opinions expressed, and only three were unqualified. The other three were qualified. But as I say, the AG only expressed an audit opinion in the management report, not, as you know, in the audit report on predetermined objectives. Then also the accuracy of the performance reports, that's also a problem. And also the achievement of targets, and also material misstatements on the performance report. Then the focus for 16-17, this year from the audit committee, we will definitely have a look at the irregular expenditure. As said at this during this meeting, I think the big problem is at the implementing agencies. But there we must have a look. Can't we have a representative from the department to go if they discuss supply chain, allocate contracts? My suggestion will be that we have a representative from the department when they do that. Then we part and parcel of the irregular expenditure, if it is irregular. But we can't sit here. They incur irregular expenditure, and we must take the knock. So that is one of, if it will work, we will have a look at it at the next audit committee. But my suggestion is we must have a representative. Then irregular expenditure, what are the problems there? Procurement without a competitive bidding or quotation process, non-compliance with procurement process requirements, non-compliance with legislation on contract management. The big problem with the department is they didn't investigate why did the irregular expenditure occur. Because the instruction is very clear. As soon as you identify possible irregular expenditure, it must be investigated. Not wait a year. It must be investigated possible, because then that, and it must be independent investigation. The supply chain management or supply chain section can't investigate it, because what will they find? No, it's irregular, but nobody must be held responsible because they're involved. The CFO can't do it. So we must have it. The audit committee will have a look at it, that the investigation is done independently. And then also, we must take disciplinary action, consequence management. And I think in the public sector, it is time that we make examples of people that don't adhere to laws and regulations. Because the PFMA is very clear, financial misconduct. If there is irregular expenditure, and people say they need training, I think we passed the stage of training. If you're in supply chain, you get paid and you must do your job. Consequence management, very important for the department. Then we must, after the investigation, we must condone the irregular expenditure. We can't run with irregular expenditure coming from 3 years back in our financial statements. We must clear our financial statements. So we must investigate, condone, write off, or recover. It all depends what the investigation after the investigation, what was the finding. Then 30 days is only applicable to the entity, and I must compliment the department on their payment of their creditors. I think it was within 28 days. Then fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Chair. It is the same as their regular expenditure. I think we're at 87.2 million. We must also have a look the same. We must investigate. Same as a regular expenditure. Consequence management. Then in general, what the audit committee is going to do, the action plans of the under AG and internal audit findings, we will follow up on a quarterly basis. What is very important is that we identify the root cause. Why did the irregular expenditure happen? Because if your root cause is wrong, you're never going to fix the problem. Because you think the root cause is X, you fix X, but after that you find out it's not X, it's Y. So it is very important, and the audit committee will have a look at it. And also the time it takes to implement it, especially internal audit findings. If we agree that this is the finding from the internal audit, we must implement it, most of them, within 3 months. Otherwise, internal audit assisting you with the internal control, if you don't implement the internal control, we can rather take internal audit away, and because then they will not add value if you don't implement their recommendation. What is also very important is repeat findings that the audit committee will have a look at. Irregular expenditure. Why did it happen after 3, 5, 6 years? We've got an action plan. We say, this is what we're going to do by that. We do it next year, exactly the same thing like irregular expenditure. So repeat findings, we will also focus on that. Then, as I say, we will also report to the minister on a quarterly basis from the audit committee, and we will meet with the minister at least twice a year, discuss the report from the audit committee. Then another concern for the audit committee is the vacancy of the DG, because it also impacts the CFO, because CFO section, finance section, because the CFO is now acting DG. But I've heard that the minister said that by the end of November it will be full, so that we can also have a look at the finance section and get that also be finalized. Then, as I said, the internal audit plan, we will have a look at on a quarterly basis, and if necessary, we will amend it. The entities, those that implementing agencies, what we will also request going forward, because you must remember they've got their own audit committee. We want, because their audit committee will report to the board, their board. We want copies of the audit committee's report to the board must be sent to our audit committee, so that we can have a look, do they really address the issues that is a problem for the department? And if not, we will communicate to them and say, you must have a look at irregular expenditure. Although it's not at the entity, but you create irregular expenditure for the department, and you, as audit committee, at the entity, you must address it. And then the other one that we already have a look at, exactly as the portfolio committee said, is the percentage of performance, 35% for the quarter maybe, or maybe 80% because it's just for the quarter, but your finance is 100%. There must be some way or another that it, not 100%, but it must be 1,800% is fine, but it can't be 30% and 100% on finance. So we will also have a look at that and get reasons why there's a huge deviation. Thank you, Chair. I think I only used 3 minutes instead of two. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The presentation, in fact, is encouraging to hear that the audit committee is solid, it's focused. I don't know if you have applied for this position of DG, because we have learned a lot today. In fact, you're just going to go smooth when you get into that portfolio. I'm not saying you've done that, but I think it's very important, Chair, that we have given the the audit, internal audit, to make a presentation. And those issues, in fact, are issues that speaks to the action plan that I've asked the DG that maybe we get a copy. It's clear that that copy is not going to come today because the DG does not want to confirm if that copy is coming. Maybe we can agree, Chair, that both with the allocation to implementing agency, it can come before the end of the week next week. But as we do that again, Chair, maybe we agree that the agreement, which we call the MOU, between the implementing agency and the department must be, in fact, forwarded to the committee too. So the three, which is the allocation and the action plan and the MOU, if that can come to the committee, it will help us a lot. So that when we then close the annual report, we know that all the areas are covered.
Okay. Those are the last few.
Chairperson, can we request that the Internal Audit Committee present the report, the quarterly report, to the Portfolio Committee as well? Then we will not get financial statements or at the end of the year see where the problem lies. Then we can break it down into quarters, and we could then see whether in the second quarter, the first quarter's recommendations, the department has honored those recommendations by the Internal Audit Committee, so that we can keep the department liable if, or the DG liable if that has not been done. Maybe that way we can also assist getting a clean audit.
Yeah, no, what is important here is that the department must lead us with the action plan. It's very important. And you'll understand the audit committee that the principal is the department. So the department must give us the copy, but you'll come and speak on the copy that we're going to present. Then from there we can then look at the action plan, the time frames and all of that. Then the audit, the internal audit committee can then express itself around that action plan, rather than having it vice versa to create we don't want that. We want to be led by the department on that part. So then we can then engage with the audit committee. Thanks.
Thanks for that. Let's agree, Mr. Basson, that the quarterly reports are presented by the department with the accounting officer, the CFO, because we've been struggling in the past with the absence of the audit committee. Now that they are here, they also shall be part of. In fact, they are. They must be part of the team. So that whole component, so that they are not only the ones that are coming through here, the accounting officer, the CFO, and then of course themselves. Just repeat. I didn't hear that.
Sorry, Chair, the report will be included in the quarterly report, Chair.
Okay, I think we have exhausted ourselves on this specific one. It was quite a long day, I must say. We saw some of the other people that are going to be submitting tomorrow to come through here to have a glimpse of, you know, the Ankhaniso. We have a session tomorrow. I was proposing that we start at 9 instead of 9:30. Fridays are normally a short day. We have TCTA tomorrow, the Water Research Commission, the Catchment Management Agencies presenting. And then we take one set of discussion. We hope to be done by 12 latest, so that whoever is traveling back home can be able to connect, especially those from Limpopo. The Northwesters, they drive. Anyway, members, that should be it. And thanks, DG and your team. And the meeting's adjourned.